Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Money Pit is presented by Castle Filters, LL Flooring, The Angie App, and Wagner Sprayers. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is The Money Pit, Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
What are you doing this weekend? Because I think we're picking up an extra day. It's the Memorial Day weekend, and if you've got some plans to enjoy yourself or maybe some plans to work on your house, we can help with the latter. All you need to do is reach out to us with your questions. Head on over to moneypit.com, click on the floating microphone button, leave us a message, and we will get back to you with the answers to your home improvement question. What are you doing this weekend, Leslie? You going to enjoy it, take that third day, or are you going to get to work on something?
We actually have a soccer tournament to go to, so no rest for the weary.
Yes.
We'll be at Hershey Park having some fun, but also many, many games of soccer.
Yeah, I remember those long, long extra tournament weekends. pretty much, it's all in, right?
It is all in.
Packing up the car and heading on out.
Yeah, you are there, you are heading out, you are cheering people on, and hopefully everybody walks away with a smile.
Well, if you are not heading out to a sporting tournament, you're hanging out at home, and maybe you're going to tackle some home improvement projects, you've got something to do, we are here to help you get that done. Reach out to us. Again, click on the microphone button, record your question, and it'll shoot right to the production studio. Hey, coming up on today's show, if you'd love to have a backyard swimming spot, and this, by the way, is the year you're going to really do something about it, because, you know, a lot of us have these. We'd love to have it for years, and maybe next year, but if you really want to do it, we're going to give you a very cool option over traditional chlorine pools. I mean, pools are nice, but sometimes that chlorine just is really hard to breathe, and it kind of burns your face, burns your nostrils. But we've got the scoop on a natural in-ground pool that's pond-like, gorgeous, and completely earth-friendly without all of that chlorine need.
Oh, I love it. Coming up also, are you looking for a new floor that's beautiful, durable, and totally waterproof? Well, we found it. It's called Duravana, and it's made by LL Flooring. We're going to share more about this brand-new technology and flooring just ahead.
And now that we're in Memorial Day weekend, along with barbecues and pool openings, we honor the service and sacrifices of our troops. That's why now is a great time to display your patriotism by flying the flag. So we're going to offer some tips on how to attach flagpole brackets to a wide variety of siding materials.
All right, but first, what are you working on this holiday weekend? Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's your tan. That's all fine, but whatever it is, we're here to lend you a hand with all things home-related. So give us a call or post your question anytime.
Again, go to moneypit.com, click on Leave Us a Message, and record your question for us, and we'll get right back to you with the answer. Let's get to it. Leslie, who's first?
All right, heading to Plattsburgh, we've got Roy on the line who's got a question about a walkway. What's going on?
Currently, right in front of my house, I just have a grass. There's no real walkway, and I'm looking to put a walkway in. I was thinking of these colored precast sort of blocks.
Yeah, they're called pavers.
Pavers. And, you know, what I have to do underneath those to make sure they, you know, they don't move over time. And if that's something I should be able to undertake myself, or should I get a pro to do that?
Well, it's a job, and I tell you that when if you don't do it right, you'll see those pavers start to move and stuff start to grow through it, you know, within a year or two. But what you have to do is you have to excavate down about 6 to 8 inches, and you put in a crushed gravel base, and then you tamp the gravel base in. And usually if it's a pro, they're going to have a mechanical tamper that does that. And it's always amazing to me because when that gravel base is tamped in, it's like as hard as concrete. You can't detect that it's just gravel anymore. But that tamped base is really, really important because on top of that, you're going to lay your paver brick. And the paver brick are modular. They're designed so that two brick wide is one brick long if you're using the rectangular bricks. And that is unlike a regular building brick because a building brick actually leaves room for a mortar joint, but a paver brick doesn't. That's the difference between those two. And, of course, you have other styles, octagon styles and things like that. But getting that base in is important. And I think, is it a long walk? How many feet are we talking about here?
Oh, a short walk, maybe 25, 30 feet at most.
Yeah, it's pretty long. I don't know that I would want to do that myself.
Okay.
That's a lot of work. You'd have to hand tamp that with a tamping iron, and even after an exhausting day or two of beating that stuff down, it's still not going to be as hard as it would be if you had a pro do it. Of course, the other thing to do is you could pour your own concrete sidewalk if you wanted to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Well, good luck with that project. Thanks for reaching out to us at the Money Pit.
Michelle in Alabama, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Okay, well, we live in a home that was built in the early 70s, and two of the bedrooms, we are having like a mold issue, and it's just above the baseboards, and I've actually cut into the sheetrock thinking that maybe it's some moisture from the outside coming through, but it's not. There's no mold inside. It's just like in the room, and I don't know what's causing it or how to even fix it.
And are you certain that it's mold? Have you had it tested?
Well, yeah, it's like we had a piece of furniture there, a dresser there, and we moved it, and we were like totally shocked that there was like it was black and fuzzy. It was no, you know, it was mold.
So if you had this furniture against the wall, you probably created sort of a chilly, damp area there. Moving the furniture out probably helps because you get a little more ventilation behind it. But what I would do is I would spray that mold down with a bleach and water solution so that we kill anything that's there. Protect the carpet because obviously you don't want to bleach out your carpet, but spray it down. Let the bleach and water sit for a while, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then clean it. And that will stop any further mold from growing, and just try to keep that area dry. If it's very damp and it's and you know, if the furniture was pressed up against it, that might be why it's happening. What kind of furniture was against it?
It was really like a child's dresser.
Okay, so it was like wood. It wasn't like a couch or something like that?
No, it was wood, yeah.
So take a look at the back of that too and make sure if there's any mold spores on that they're cleaned as well.
All right, thanks for your help.
Sage in New York is on the line with an outdoor watering question. Tell us what's going on.
How you doing? I have an outdoor faucet, which I use to connect my hose in the front. And I believe it's called a frost-free Silcock.
Right.
And the problem I have is that when I open the faucet, I can open it full, but the water takes sometimes up to a minute to come out if it comes out at all.
Now, inside your house, there's going to be another valve that is designed to shut off that line for the winter. Did you check to make sure that valve was fully open?
It is fully open, yes.
So the valve's fully open on the inside of the house. The valve, the hose bib on the outside of the house, though, you open it up and it takes a minute to come out. And when it comes out, does it come out fast or slow or what?
It comes out slow, and I also wondered if the fact that the pressure was lower on this faucet as compared to the faucet at the back of the house was part of the problem.
How old's the house?
Oh, the house is only about 3 years old.
3 years old? All right, so the plumbing should be fine. What you're describing is simply a valve that's not fully open. And so if the valve inside is open and the valve outside is open, then somewhere we've got a bad valve because that shouldn't be happening. It should be very simple. The valve opens, the water flies out. Three-year-old house, there's no reason for any corrosion to be inside the pipe or anything of that nature. And so you've got a bad valve somewhere. That's what has to be looked into.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Welcome to game two of the three-game set between your Colt 45s and Santa Rosa Rosebuds. Tonight, we should be having a good one. On the mound for the Colts, we've got Isaac Alvarez. We'll see how he's going to do tonight. Hopefully, it'll be a better game than the Colts than last night. They're recovering off of an 11-9 loss, where they kept the lead through the first seven innings and then gave up seven runs to lose it in the eighth. Couldn't catch up after that.
Looks like we got a leak in our third base club pavilion tonight. It's just Walner
and
running and trying tonight's game from the third baseline.
For your and now ready, we Colt 45!
Colt 45's live. Their team
from Allen Valley College. Your shortstop.
You can hear him in the background.
Promoco.
It's a beautiful evening for baseball out here. This is Ken White, play-by-play tonight.
Sacramento City College.
Your partner, Austin Miller.
Number 20.
Wind blowing
right
in from the west. Flags flying out in center field toward the east.
And if you can't hear that announcer in the background, folks, we've got Eric Camacho playing shortstop for the Colts tonight, along with Bryce Tweet going out to center field. Cal Norton now is heading out to right as well. Looks like we've got Blake Tweet heading out into left field, batting in the four hole.
From Captain Collins, your catcher.
Coming in to catch is going to be Ethan Williams. Playing first base tonight is going to be Nate Scott with number seven will filled up by the designated hitter, Derek Ray. The third base will be played tonight by Wyatt Larinaga, along with second base played by Isaiah Cortez. And as we mentioned earlier, it's going to be Isaac Alvarez out on the mound tonight for the Colts. So the situation here, trying to come back after that tough loss last night. What do you think the Colts need to do to get it done, Ken?
Well, they need to make sure their pitching hits their marks tonight. Last night, they gave up, I think, no less than eight free bases.
Hit
pitches and just couldn't keep runners off after they got two outs. That really was what cost them in that eighth inning. And then in the ninth, even though they got a run back, couldn't make it happen.
Absolutely, and the Rosebuds actually didn't have hot bats, but we'll pause there as the national anthem is about to be sung by Chris Carpenter, teacher at Foothill High School.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we fought for so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bumpers seen in air, came through the night, that our flag was still there. Oh, does that star spangled banner yet wave? O'er the brand of the free and the home of the brave.
Oh, beautiful. This Spangled Banner there, sung again by Chris Carpenter, teacher at Foothill High School. Remember, folks, this Red and Colt 45's baseball game on KTNR is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating.
If you have anything that you'd like to get painted, bring it to Victory Powder Coating, the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items, truck and agricultural Victory Powder Coating.
And for your ready covering line,
Highway 273, Garrett Anderson, Paskey, California. Call 530-278-5298. That's 530-278-5298. Victory Powder Coating.
All right. As Isaac Alvarez takes the mound, he's going to start warming up. This Rosebuds lineup, like we said earlier, didn't do much with their bats last night, but along with all the free bases they were given, it was enough to get the job done. The real story of last night, however, was the Rosebuds pitcher. I believe it was
Cale Hamilton, and he did an amazing job. He looked shaky through much of the early parts of the game, but seemed to get stronger as the night went on. And as he did, he kept mowing down the Colt 45s and kept them off the base paths later in the game.
Absolutely. You know, he gave up a total of 9 runs throughout the game. However, he pitched all 9 innings. Again, all 9 innings. We estimated his pitch count to be well above 100 pitches. So we can kind of figure now his arm must be hanging. Either way, he got the win and the complete game for the Rosebuds. And with that, batter number 1 for the Rosebuds is going to come up to the plate. It'll be Charlie Parneau playing center field. So he's going to take a step into the box now, kick around some dirt, and get ready for the second game of the Colt 45 season.
Charlie was a late game addition yesterday, and we didn't even have him on the roster, but he came in and did some damage.
And pitch number 1 is going to be inside. It'll be a fastball. That'll be 1-0 to Parneau. Here's the pitch. That ball's going to miss outside. It'll be a 2-0 count. The thing about these Colts pitchers that we saw yesterday, and now with Alvarez, it appears, too, is they like to work quick, as here's the pitch. That's going to be a lasered ground ball over to, down the third baseline. It'll be off the glove of the third baseman and into left field. Parneau is going to hold up at first base as they bring the ball back in. So it'll be a leadoff base hit for Charlie Parneau, and that'll get the Rosebuds started. That's a much better start to the game than they had last night.
Yeah, it is. That hit by Parneau wasn't a real hard shot. And the third baseman looked like he just mistimed it as he made his dive and skipped over and tipped off his glove as it dribbled out into left field.
Here's Brian Meyer at the plate. He's going to take a curveball for a strike. That'll make it an 0-1 count. Meyer is actually on the mound for the Rosebuds tonight. There's not going to be a designated hitter. He will hit for himself as Alvarez sets up. Here's the delivery. And it's another curveball. However, it's going to miss. That'll make it a 1-1 count to Meyer as Parneau takes his lead off of first. Alvarez is going to check him back and then get set. Here's the pitch. That ball's going to be looped over the shortstop's head into left field for the second consecutive base hit of the inning. So Meyer is on with a hit, and that'll bring Andrew Rubalcaba to the plate, the first baseman, with runners on first and second. And no out, so not too hot of a start for Isaac Alvarez and the Colts.
These Rosebuds are jumping on him early, unlike last night, where it seemed like it was about the third inning before they got their first hit.
Absolutely. Now Rubalcaba is going to see his first pitch. That ball is lined down the third baseline. That'll be a base hit. They're going to send the runner coming around third. He will get into home plate standing. The runner at second will hold, so that's going to score 1 run. And it'll leave runners at first and second, 1-0 for the Rosebuds now in the top of the first inning. That was, again, Andrew Rubalcaba with the base hit down the third baseline to score a run.
These Rosebuds definitely taking advantage of some early strikes, and those bats are coming alive early in the game.
Here's Jared Dumont at the plate. He'll see his first pitch, and that's going to be an off-speed that'll fall right into the zone. It'll make it an 0-1 count. Dumont is playing third base tonight for the Rosebuds, and Isaac Alvarez is going to step off the rubber, take a deep breath before he steps back on. Again, not too hot of a start for the Colts as they've already given up a run without getting an out. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss high. It'll be a 1-1 count to Jared Dumont. So the runners on first and second get a lead. The Colts aren't holding them too tight, but they're walking in behind. They'll keep the lead short. Here's the pitch. That's going to catch the outside corner. There's a fastball for a strike. It'll make it a 1-2 count to Dumont. Now Dumont looks at Alvarez, waiting for the next pitch. Alvarez is going to take his sign. He gets set, and here comes the pitch. That's going to miss outside. Make it a 2-2 count to Dumont now as Alvarez gets the ball back. Again, going to take another deep breath before he steps on that rubber. He's taking the sign now. Gets back up. Pays no attention to the runner at second. Never mind, he is going to turn around. Faked him out there a little bit. Didn't take a look back, but went for the windup and then turned right around to second base. No throw, however. Now he's going to get set, and here's the delivery. That ball is going to miss high and outside. It's a fastball. It'll be a 3-2 full count to Jared Dumont here in the top of the first inning. Now the Colts still looking for their first out of the ball game. Score is 1-0 in favor of the Rosebuds. Here's the pitch. That ball is looped high and foul into the left field, past the left field fence. Sorry. Now Dumont's going to stare back at Alvarez as he takes his sign. Here's the delivery. And that ball is grounded to the first baseman, and it goes under his glove. The runner will turn third and head for home. He's going to get there standing up. They're going to make a play at third. However, the runner will be safe. So now we've got runners at first and third. That is going to be an error on the first baseman. Unfortunate turn of events for the Colts there as they let in another run. James Potts, the right fielder for the Rosebuds, coming up to bat now. Again, Dumont, just a little ground ball. Wasn't too hard hit, but looks like the first baseman just kind of took his eyes off of it as it went under his glove. Alvarez sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to catch the outside corner for a strike. Now, that was Nate Scott at first base with that unfortunate event. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to be grounded to the third baseman. He's going to field it, go to second. They're going to try to turn two. No, the second baseman will hold on to it. So the Colts now get their first out of the ball game. That was a ground ball to the third baseman, Larinaga, who threw it over to Isaiah Cortez at second for a force out. Runners will again be at first and third. Now you just have a replacement runner at first with one out in the ballgame. It's going to be Casey Longacre, the catcher for the Rosebuds, coming up to bat. And Alvarez is going to take his sign. Get set. Here's the pitch. And that's going to miss high. It'll be one ball and no strikes. Now this is a tough situation with one out. You've got runners at first and third. You got to wonder here if the Rosebuds are going to try to do something a little tricky, try to get another run across. And here's the pitch. That ball is driven into the right center field gap. It's going and gone. That is a three-run shot for Casey Longacre. And that was definitely a big boy home run. That cleared the right center field fence by a long shot as Longacre comes around third base and heads for home. Definitely not the start the Colts were hoping for as they go down 5-0 in the top of the first.
Yeah, this is not a good start for the Colts. Now down 5-0. That was a big, big home run. Alvarez pitch count is also starting to climb as he's approaching 20 pitches already here in the first inning with only one out.
Iggy Lawrence, the second baseman for the Rosebuds, comes up, and he's going to foul one back out into the parking lot, it appears. The count will be 0-1 to Lawrence. And here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss outside, making it a 1-1 count to Lawrence. As Alvarez, back from the windup, here's the pitch. Ball is going to miss outside, making it a 2-1 count. Bases are cleared now for the Colts as they're all in pretty standard positioning. Oh, and that's going to be ball four to Lawrence as he goes ahead and grabs first base. Now, I thought that was ball three, but he's going to take first base, so apparently it was indeed ball four.
Don't feel bad. I think I also had only three pitches on that at bat, so somehow somebody worked in an extra pitch, and we just didn't catch it.
Apparently, don't know whose error that was, whether it was ours or maybe the umpire's, but either way, Dylan De La Montoya comes up for the Rosebuds, and he's going to swing and miss at the first pitch. That'll be strike one, making it an 0-1 count to De La Montoya. De La Montoya is playing left field today for the Rosebuds, and he had a nice triple last night that really helped the Rosebuds in their comeback, and he's going to swing and whiff again for strike two. Alvarez now looking to gain a little bit of his confidence back as he stares down and grabs his sign from the catcher. Alvarez comes set, and here's the pitch. That's going to be outside for ball one. It'll be a 1-2 count to De La Montoya. Again, with one out, you've got a runner on first. That's going to be Iggy Lawrence. Alvarez comes set. Here's the pitch. And that ball is driven into right field for a base hit. And Lawrence will hold up at second as the Colts get the ball in. So another base hit for the Rosebuds, and it looks like we're going to have a mound visit here.
Number six.
Yeah, this isn't looking good. 26 pitches in the first inning and only one out for Alvarez. And already the Rosebuds have five hits in this first inning, along with the free base to Iggy Lawrence.
Absolutely, and I believe that was in addition to the error they had at first base as well. So the Colts definitely not getting the start they wanted. It looks like Alvarez is going to stay out on the mound. Manager Barrick Fasking trying to get him to calm down a little bit. So Ethan Williams will start a stride back towards behind home plate.
So it looks like the script is flipped for the Colts tonight. They're giving up the hits early and the runs early, and the Rosebuds bats have come alive.
Absolutely. The Rosebuds, their bats are... They might have more hits in this inning than they did all last night, actually.
I believe they do.
And here's the pitch. This is going to be Riley Say bunting down the third baseline. It'll be just foul.
No.
As third baseman Wyatt Larinaga picks it up, hands it back to Isaac Alvarez.
So Riley, somebody we're acquainted with. He's a local Redding guy playing for the Rosebuds out of Santa Rosa. Riley having played a little bit of ball in the Midwest and also down in Southern California, in Sacramento for William Jessup for a time. Now is on the Simpson University roster.
Alvarez sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be low for ball one. It'll be a 1-1 count. Again, the Colts just have one out here with runners on first and second. Already Alvarez has given up five runs.
You really need something on the ground here. Give his infield a chance to turn the double play.
Well, here's the pitch to Say. And that'll miss the outside corner, it looks like. Making it a 2-1 count. It was a good pitch. And, you know, I'm not so sure that velocity is the problem for Alvarez. He really seems to be pumping some gas here. However, the Rosebuds are just able to get a hold of it. So wonder if he's missing some spots maybe. Here's the pitch. Again, we'll miss outside. It'll be a 3-1 count. Alvarez here hoping not to load the bases up. And Say trying to drive across another run for the Rosebuds.
It's fun to watch with these small teams from out of town. For example, the Rosebuds all look like they're on borrowed uniforms. Nobody's names on the back of the uni match. The actual name of the player.
And Say will take a fastball down the middle for a strike, making it a full count with one out. This is where the pressure comes on for Alvarez. He really needs a good pitch here to get out of this inning. Let's see what he can do. Here's the delivery. That ball's going to be outside. So, Riley Say takes a walk. The bases will be loaded for Isaac Alvarez with only one out. And now the Colts are in desperate need of a double play. Anything less than an out will probably result in a run scored.
Well, we're turning the lineup over here already in the first inning.
Yes, we are.
Rosebud's already sending nine men to the plate.
So here comes the leadoff hitter, Charlie Parnell, Remember, Charlie had a base hit earlier in the game to lead it off, and he's going to see a strike on the outside corner now. As Alvarez gets the ball back, he is going to check the runners.
You have to wonder if takes Alvarez his sign. Is wrestling with the sun. It's right
here's
in
the pitch.
Right now.
And that's going to be a weak ground ball over the pitcher's head, however. And, oh, the Colts are going to spike it into the ground in front of the first baseman. It'll get past him. And at least one more run is going to score. So two runs score on that weak bouncer up the middle. The shortstop, Camacho, tried to pick it up and make a play, but there was really no shot. And instead he spiked it in front of the first baseman. And as a result, one more run, will score for the Rosebuds, and that will make it a 7-0 ball game in just the first inning. So here's Alvarez. He's going to come set. Here's the pitch. That'll be a swing and a miss from Brian Meyer, the pitcher for the Rosebuds. And Alvarez is going to get the ball back again. Runners on second and third. Still just one out for the Colts. And here comes the pitch.
Looks like they scored that last at-bat by Parnell as a base hit.
And that's going to be outside and miss. Well, yeah, I believe it was a base hit. That ball bounced and had a lot of time on the ground before it was picked up by Camacho. I think before he even threw the ball, that Parnell had already reached first base. Now it seems we might be having some troubles with the scoreboard here, as it'll be a 1-1 count to Brian Meyer. Alvarez is going to take the sign. He sets up. And here's the pitch. That's going to be outside for ball two. That'll make it a 2-1 count to Brian Meyer. And the Colts really just trying to get an out here. Again, they're down 7-0 already in just the top of the first inning. Alvarez sets up. Here's the pitch. And that ball is going to be popped up. Catcher's going for it. So is the first baseman. And the first baseman, that is Nate Scott, will make the catch for the Colts. That'll be the second out of the inning. And now the Colts are just hoping for one more. So Brian Meyer heads back to the dugout. Now we've got Andrew Rubalcaba.
You got to feel good about a 1-for-2 first inning, though.
Yeah. I mean, the team as a whole can't feel too bad about that. I think most of the players on the roster so far have a base hit. Or have at least reached bases. Here's the pitch from Alvarez, and that'll be a ball low, almost in the dirt, making it a 1-0 count to Rubalcaba. As Alvarez looks down and takes his sign, he's going to set back up here. And here's the pitch coming down, and that ball will miss outside. It'll be 2-0 to Andrew Rubalcaba. And Alvarez here sets up, checks the runners back. Here's the pitch. And that'll be swung on and just tapped foul, making it a 2-1 count to Rubalcaba. So the Colts now looking to end the inning as the umpire tosses it back to Alvarez but spikes it in the dirt in front of him. That's our plate umpire, Thomas Hutler. So it'll be a 2-1 count to Rubalcaba. As Rubalcaba sets up in the box, Alvarez is going to take his sign. He comes set on the mound. And here's the pitch. That's going to catch the corner for strike two. Now we've got two balls and two strikes here to Rubalcaba. And one more strike could get the Colts out of this inning finally.
Alvarez has topped 40 pitches for the inning. This has been a rough outing, to say the least.
Here's the pitch. And swung on and missed for strike three. So a rough inning there for Alvarez, giving up 7 runs. But he gets out of it eventually, and we will head to the bottom of the first. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating at 4000 Highway 273 in Anderson, California. If you have something that you would like to get painted, bring it to Victory Powder Coating. And with that, we will head over to break.
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the first inning, the second game of the season for the Colt 45s. The Colts, unfortunately, have given up 7 runs in the top of the first, are now down 7-0, hoping to get a couple of those runs back. We've got Brian Meyer out on the mound for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. And leading off tonight for the Colt 45s is going to be shortstop Arif Camacho. And he's watching the pitcher warm up right now, trying to get his timing down. Well, that top of the first inning was certainly tough for the Colts. Not much to say other than 7 hits, 2 errors given up by Alex Alvarez for 7 runs, and that was on over 40 pitches. So a rough outing, to say the least, as Camacho will come up to the box. He's kicking around.
Now, ready, get ready, 45, number 12, Arif Camacho.
So with the crowd here still in the game, Camacho steps in to mediocre applause. Here's the pitch. That ball's going to be tapped over to the second baseman, who will field it and toss it to first for the first out of the inning. So first pitch, first out for the Rosebuds. That was Iggy Lawrence playing second base on the play. Just a light ground ball there, not much of a chance to do anything with it. So Bryce Tweet, the center fielder for the Colts, coming up to bat now. Tweet had a phenomenal game last night with 2 home runs, one of which was a grand slam. He actually had the majority of the Colts' RBIs. So here comes the pitch, and that'll be a ball high to Tweet. We'll see how Meyer wants to pitch to him right now, knowing about his performance last night. Here comes the pitch. And that one will miss outside. So it doesn't look like Meyer wants to give him much to hit tonight, as he starts him off with a 2-0 count. Again, there's one out off that Arif Camacho ground ball. Meyer's going to set up, and here's the pitch. And a check swing there from Camacho, but he did not go around. That'll make it 3 balls and no strikes. Again, Meyer not seeming to want to pitch to Camacho, or to Tweet. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the strike zone, however, making it a 3-1 count with one out in the bottom of the first inning. So Tweet takes a good long look at his bat, steps into the box, and here's the delivery. A swing and a miss. Tweet just swung straight through that one. It looked like his timing was a bit off. And Meyer has now climbed his way out of that 3-0 hole, and Tweet now looking at a full count as he steps back into the box. Meyer looks down and takes a sign. He's pitching from the windup. Here's the delivery. And that ball will be strike 3. That was way outside. However, the umpire says no, that one caught the strike zone. So Tweet was already on his way to first, by the time home plate umpire Thomas Hutler rang him up, but unfortunately for the Colts, that'll make it two outs here in the bottom of the first. No runners on. Here now is Kyle Norton, and he will be hit by the first pitch, and he's going to make his way over to first base. So Meyer allows his first base runner of the game. It'll be a hit by pitch to Kyle Norton. Now, coming up to bat, we've got the brother of recently retired Bryce Tweet. It'll be Blake Tweet coming up to bat for the Colts. Tweet's going to step in. Meyer now pitching from the stretch. Here's the delivery. That'll be high for ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count to Blake Tweet. My apologies. As Meyer looks down and takes the sign, he's going to check that runner over at first. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to catch the strike zone a little low, but the umpire says it caught. So that'll be a 1-1 count to Blake Tweet. Looking to do something here for the Colts. Here's the delivery from Meyer. And that's going to be a line shot down the third baseline. It'll fall. Here comes the runner, rounding second, headed for third. He'll come in standing up, as will Tweet. That'll be a double for Blake Tweet down the third baseline. That was just a nice hit. It really was close, maybe landing just a foot inside of the line.
And Tweet continues to impress with three hits last night. Let's get a feedback girl,
Aubrey and Brianna.
Well, keep in mind, this was Blake Tweet.
Oh, I was getting the Tweet brothers totally confused. That's right.
Blake Tweet did have an impressive outing, however, last night as well, garnering a couple of hits for the Colts. And now he adds on another one. It'll be a double, creating a runner on second and third situation for the Colts. So here comes the catcher up to bat, Ethan Williams, as Meyer now looking to get out of the inning without allowing any runs. We'll see what he can do. So here's the pitch to Williams. That's going to miss low. It'll be ball one. So 1-0 count here to Williams as Meyer takes his sign. He's pitching from the windup now with runners on second and third. Here's the delivery. That ball is going to be a fastball high, and it'll miss the strike zone. It'll be a 2-0 count now to Williams as Meyer toes the rubber once again. Here comes the delivery. Maybe a little later than expected. The pitch. And that one's going to catch the inside corner for strike one. It'll be a 2-1 count now to Ethan Williams. So, ball heads back over to Meyer. Meyer gets back on the rubber, staring down, catches his sign. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss inside. Looked to be a curveball from the left-hander. So, it'll be a 3-1 count to Williams. Let's see what happens. The bases may be about to be loaded if Meyer can't throw a strike here. So, here's the pitch. And that one will catch the inside corner. It'll be a full count now to Williams. Williams in a bit of a pressure spot here. Full count. Runners on second and third. The Colts trying to get something started with two outs. Here's the pitch. That ball will be popped up to the second baseman. That is Lawrence. And he'll make the catch, backpedaling into right field. So that's the inning for the Colts. They fail to get a run across. It'll remain 7-0 as we head into the top of the second. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating. Call 530-278-5298 if you'd like anything, if you'd like to get anything you need painted. And with that, we will head to break.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
8 or 3?
And we're back.
Yeah, that's cool to see.
All righty, folks. So the Colts at the top of the second have made a pitching change. It'll be pitcher Will Tatista coming in to throw for the Colts as he warms up here. Williams just now trotting out on the field. So Alvarez, having a rough first inning, is going to be pulled early. Probably a smart decision by manager Barrett Fasken after giving up 7 runs in the top of the first. Hopefully Tatista can shut down the Rosebuds in this next inning as he continues to warm up. So, again, 7-0 for the Colts. They're looking to hold off the Rosebuds in this inning so they can hopefully go back in the dugout and get a few catch-up runs. Here comes Jared Dumont, the Rosebuds. He's going to see a first-pitch fastball for a strike on the outside corner. That'll make it an 0-1 count. Cista starts his outing off with a strike. Here comes the delivery. That ball is going to be driven foul, and it looks like it hit the light pole out there over near left field. It'll be an 0-2 count now to Dumont. Let's see what happens here to Cista with the delivery. And he struck him out with a nice off-speed pitch. Dumont just swung straight through it. Wow, that was a nice pitch.
That was a beautiful pitch. He totally had him fooled on that one with Dumont way out in front.
So, Tatista, already faring a little bit better than Alvarez, has gotten his first out of the ballgame. And with that, it'll be James Potts, the right fielder, coming up to bat. He'll see a ball for the first pitch, so it'll be 1-0. Here's the delivery from Tatista. That ball is going to miss high, so it'll be 2-0 to Potts. Tatista now, ball back. Here's the delivery. That one will find the strike zone. So it'll be a 2-1 count as Tatista delivers again. That ball is going to be bounced over to the first baseman. That is Nate Scott, who will run it over and eventually toss to Tatista, who makes the out at first. So, 2 outs here for the Colts. And it's going to be the catcher, Casey Longacre. Again, Longacre had that long 3-run shot last inning. And he'll see if he can do something similar again. Tatista hoping not, as Longacre steps into the box.
Tatista playing his college ball down at Westmont in Santa Barbara.
Here's the pitch. That ball's going to be spiked in the dirt. It'll be 1-0 to Longacre. Now, I imagine Tatista is going to want to stay away from giving this guy anything too appealing. As here's the pitch. That's going to be way high over his head. It'll be 2-0, and Longacre is going to see the next pitch. It'll be striking that outside corner for strike one. It'll be a 2-1 count to Longacre. Again, Tatista not giving him too much to work with here. Here's the pitch, and that one is going to miss low. It'll be a 3-1 count to Longacre. Longacre is a big boy. Looks like he's standing at well over 6 feet. Here's the pitch, and that one will be in the dirt, so Longacre will draw a walk. Not surprising considering what he did last inning. So, coming up to bat, second baseman Iggy Lawrence. Deceased is going to try to get out of this inning now. We'll see what he decides he wants to throw to Lawrence on this first pitch. This is the first time we'll see him from the stretch as he gets set. Here's the pitch. Quick windup from Tatista, similar to the rest of the Colts pitchers, as he throws a first pitch strike to Iggy Lawrence. It'll be an 0-1 count. And here's the pitch. That'll be bounced to the second baseman, who will field it, throw it over to Scott at first, and that'll be 3 outs. So the Colts get a nice quick inning there, giving up only 1 base on a walk to Longacre, and no more damage done. So again, 7-0 heading into the bottom of the second. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating.
If you have anything that you'd like to get painted, bring it to Victory Powder Coating, the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. And with that, we will head off to break.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives.
Can you hear me?
We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to Colt 45's baseball. Again, on the mound is going to be Brian Meyer as the catcher, Longacre, tosses it down to second base.
Beautiful night for baseball.
It absolutely is. And coming up to bat is going to be, let's see here, I believe it's going to be Derek Ray, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check here. No, it's not. It's going to be the first baseman, actually, Nate Scott. And he'll face Meyer for the first time tonight. So, considering how long the Rosebuds left in Hamilton to pitch last night, the entire game, after giving up nine runs, it's going to be interesting to see how long they're going to want to leave Meyer in. Maybe it's going to depend on his performance. So far, he's faring pretty well against the Colts. Here's the first pitch. And it'll miss low to Scott for ball one. Regardless, Scott's going to step back into the box. Here's the pitch. And it's going to be strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count to Scott as he steps back in the box. And here's the pitch from Meyer. It'll be a 2-1 count after that. As a ball in this high. So, Scott steps back in. Here's the pitch from Meyer. It'll be a curveball that'll miss outside. 3-1 count now to Scott. Scott hoping to start something for the Colts. They weren't able to get much in the last inning. And again, down 7-0. They're just trying to play catch up at this point. Here's the pitch that'll be swung on and missed by Scott, making it a full count.
I think Scott was looking fastball on that one, but it wasn't the fastball he wanted. It still took a cut at it.
It'll be 3-2. Here's the pitch. That one is fouled off in and out of the catcher Longacre's glove, so it'll stay 3-2 as Meyer heads back to the mound. Meyer now taking a good long look, catching his sign. He takes it, and here's the delivery. It'll be swung on and missed for strike three, so it'll be one out for the Rosebuds now as the designated hitter, Derek Ray, comes up to bat. So Meyer steps back on the rubber. She comes up to face Ray for the first time tonight. Takes his sign. Here's the pitch from Meyer. And that ball is fouled off into the net. So, it'll be a 0-1 count to Ray. Meyer gets set. Here's the pitch. And that's going to be another called strike. So it'll be an 0-2 count.
This umpire definitely has a low zone tonight.
That he does. So it'll be 0-2 to Ray. And here's the pitch from Meyer. swung on and missed. And that'll be strike three as it goes around the horn. Two outs now.
So the Colts wait for their bats to come alive here in the second inning, down 7-0 against the Santa Rosa Rosebuds.
Absolutely, and with that, it'll be Wyatt Larinaga, the third baseman, coming up to bat with two outs. That'll be a called ball. So the count will be 1-0.
So Meyer pitch, and he goes around, and that is strike one. So the count now 1-1. We're hoping the Colts can get something going here in the second inning now, down 7-0. And the first two batters striking out. That pitch is low.
Yes, it is. So it'll be 2-1. Here's the pitch. That'll be lined down the third baseline. It'll be foul. So another ball goes out to Myers. It'll be a 2-2 count with two outs.
Larinaga looking like he can make something happen here. He's hitting the seventh hole. Excuse me, the eighth hole.
Here's the pitch from Meyer. Strike three called. And that'll sit Larinaga down.
Three straight strikeouts for the Colt 45.
Yep, not the type of inning they were hoping to have, but a well-pitched inning for Meyer. So Tecista is going to come back out onto the mound as we head over to break.
Signorama presents Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members, and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibition. Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey kids, what's your favorite kids' meal at Black Bear Diner? Is it a mini volcano, burger sliders, chicken strips, or strawberry French toast? This month, have a grown-up bring you into Black Bear Diner, and while you're here, ask for a happy cupcake coloring sheet, get creative, and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adult. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
All right, welcome back to the top of the third inning in this night's Colt 45's baseball game. Will Tecista just threw a first pitch strike to Dylan De La Montoya as he delivers another one low. That's going to be in the dirt for ball one. So Tecista back out on the mound after giving up nothing in the last inning. He had a nice quick outing in that second inning, replacing Alvarez, who gave up 7 runs in the first. De La Montoya now is going to step in to face his third pitch. Here's the delivery. That ball is swung on and missed for strike two. Nice pitch there from Tecista, and it'll draw a swing and a miss. So here comes Tecista again, takes his sign, sets up. Here's the delivery. That ball is swung on and missed one more time. It'll be strike three as Williams, the catcher, throws it to third. It'll be not quite enough, and the ball's going to roll out into left field. So they'll get it back into Tecista, so a leadoff strikeout. And here comes Riley Say for the second time tonight. It'll be his first time facing Will. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to be bounced right back to Tecista, who will toss it over to Scott at first, and that'll be the second out of the inning. So two quick outs here for the Colt 45s. That's exactly how they wanted to start this inning out. And Tecista is going to head back over to the mound as Charlie Parnell, the leadoff hitter, will come. come back out for his third at-bat of the game in the third inning. Tecesta on the rubber now. Here's the delivery. It's going to be a bunt down the third baseline. Nicely executed. Tecesta turns around and throws. It'll be wide. Scott's going to have to come off of first base to catch that ball. So it looks like Carnot is going to have a bunt base hit there. It was nicely executed right down the third baseline. Just a little bouncer. And Tecesta can't quite get to it in time and throws wide. So we'll have a runner on first as Brian Meyer, the pitcher, comes up to bat. Tecesta looks down, takes his sign, and here's the pitch. It'll be fouled back into the parking lot. That one hit a car. That's quite unfortunate for the owner of that vehicle. It'll be an 0-1 count now to Meyer as Tecesta checks the runner and back picks him. But Parnot is going to get back easily. So, Tecesta now setting up on the mound. He's going to wait. Delivers. That was a nice curveball that draw a swing from Meyer. However, it went past the catcher Williams and allowed Parnot to get to second. So I'm not sure if they'll rule that a wild pitch or a pass ball. However, either way, Parnot is going to get to second. And it is going to be a, I believe, 0-1 count now to Meyer. Sorry, make that an 0-2 count as Meyer swings and taps a foul ball back into the net. So an 0-2 count with two outs. Will Tecesta trying to end this inning as he steps up on the mound once more, takes his sign from the catcher. Parnot getting a decent lead over at second, but the Colts are holding him on. Parnot's got some speed. Here's a pitch. That ball is going to be a curveball. It'll miss inside for the first ball. The at-bat, it'll be a 1-2 count to Brian Meyer. So with two outs now, Tecesta is going to look down, catch his sign. He comes set. And now here's the delivery. That ball will miss high and out of the glove of Williams. As Parnot is going to make it to third base, that ball just popped right out of Williams' glove and bounced over a few feet away, allowing Parnot to take third. It'll make it a 2-2 count for Meyer here. Tecesta still battling, trying to get out of this inning.
That's a tough 90 feet, but especially with two outs.
That is going to be a ball. Tecesta threw a nice fastball. I sure thought it caught the edge.
Crowd is not happy about that one.
No, they are not. However, it is going to be ball three now to Meyer. That'll make it a full count. And here's the pitch from Tecesta. Swung on and fouled back into the net by Meyer. So Meyer getting his money's worth in this at-bat as he makes the count 3-2 with two outs. The base hit would score a run. Tecesta here setting back up. Here's the pitch, and that ball will miss high. So Meyer trots down to first base. Runners will be on first and third. Tecesta obviously upset. He thought he had a strikeout earlier in that at-bat, but home plate umpire Thomas Hutler says no dice.
Yeah, it's been tough, and here we go again. Now two on with two out, and the free base also seeming to haunt the Colt 45s tonight.
Yes, it is. So Tecesta's going to get set. There's a hard ground ball down the line. It'll go over the first baseman. That'll be a base hit. So Parnot will score easily. Runner around second, heads to third. He's in there standing up. So Andrew Rubalcaba has a first pitch base hit that'll score a run. So Tecesta gives up his first run of the ball game. That'll make it an 8-0 game in favor of the Rosebuds. That was a hard hit ball, bounced right over the first baseman's head. There's really no shot at that. So with two outs, Rubalcaba hits an RBI single. That'll bring up now Jared Dumont to face Tecesta for the first time. Here's the pitch. And that's going to miss outside for a ball. Catcher Ethan Williams drops it. The runners, however, stay in place. So Tecesta now takes a deep breath, gets set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed by Dumont. That was a nice fastball. It'll be a 1-1 count. as Tatista heads back to the rubber, he'll look down, take his sign, checks both runners back, and here's the pitch. Swung on and missed again. Nice little curveball that Tatista just dropped right in there, and Dumont could not catch up to it.
Took a lot of velocity off of that one, and Dumont getting fooled on that one yet again in another at-bat.
So Tatista gets set again. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. So Tatista draws three swings and misses from Dumont, and he gets out, allowing just one run in that inning. And with that, we will head to the bottom of the third. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating. And with that, we will head to break.
Signorama presents Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, June 17th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for craft beers, live music, food, games, and much more. Tickets are on sale now and include commemorative steel cup and your first beer free. $30 for pre-sale and Turtle Bay members and $35 at the gate for this 21 and over event. All proceeds go to Turtle Bay education programs and exhibitions. Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Friday, June 17th. Get your tickets today and learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the third inning of this Colt 45's ball game. Unfortunately, the Colts are trailing 8-0 at this point, having given up 7 runs in the first inning and 1 run just now in the top of the third. Brian Meyer, the pitcher for the Rosebuds, is going to come back out for his third consecutive inning. He has yet to give up a run. And coming up to bat for the Colts, it looks like it's going to be Isaiah Cortez, the second baseman. So Cortez squats down, gets a little stretched out as he gets his timing down with Meyer.
So this will be the first time that Cortez has seen the plate in the game, and after him, the Colts will turn the order over.
Yes, they will. So Cortez walks over, steps in the plate, kicks some dirt around.
Let's go!
As he gets ready, Meyer,
number 10,
gets the ball back from his third baseman. He steps over to the mound. He'll walk up and step on the rubber now. Cortez takes a deep breath as he steps into the box. And Meyer now with the delivery. That ball is going to miss low and away. It'll be ball one. 1-0 count now to Cortez. Delivery again. That ball will catch the outside corner. Fastball for strike one. Count is 1-1. As Meyer steps back up to the mound, here's the pitch. Ball is bounced hard over to the second baseman, who will field it. Heads over to second, not in time. And Cortez will have himself an infield single, as the second baseman, Iggy Lawrence, just could not get it over first in time.
He stayed back
as that ball headed towards him, trying to play it off of a hop, and it just did not give him enough time to send it over first. So with that, the Colts have their leadoff runner aboard, and no outs, as the leadoff hitter, Arif Camacho, playing shortstop for the Colts, will come up to bat. Here's the pitch from Meyer. Swung on and missed. That was a nice off-speed pitch. Low by Brian Meyer to Arif Camacho. Meyer takes his sign, checks the runner at first. Here's the pitch. And that'll be a called strike. So it'll be an 0-2 count now to Camacho. As Camacho looks back at Meyer, he's going to defend off the plate now. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss just outside. It'll be a 1-2 count as Meyer gets his sign from his catcher. He's going to come set, and here's the pitch. Swung on and tapped. Foul behind home plate.
These pitchers working fast on both teams tonight.
Yes, they indeed are. The deliveries have just been lightning quick. It looks like they're really just trying to speed this game along, keep the tempo high. So it'll be a 1-2 count now to Camacho as Meyer sets up on the mound. Here's the pitch. Swung on again, tapped foul behind home plate. So the count will remain 1-2 as Isaiah Cortez stands on first. He'll now go ahead and take lead as Meyer grabs his sign from the catcher. Here's the pitch from Meyer, and that one will be high and outside, so it'll be ball two. Camacho now looking at a 2-2 count. No outs for the Colt 45s with a runner on first. They're hoping to get their first run of the ball game across. And Meyer takes his sign from the catcher. He'll now look down. Here's the pitch. That ball is driven into left field and caught on a dive by the left fielder for the Rosebuds. That's going to be Charlie Parneau. Charlie Parneau earlier sped out a bunt for a base hit, and with that speed, it looks like he was able to make a nice diving catch there in left field. So that'll mark the first out of the inning. Camacho a little upset that he was just robbed of what looked like it could have been a double.
Parneau showing some tremendous athleticism. In addition to good at-bats, he's laying out for that fly ball in the outfield. That really did look like it was going to get down, but Parneau didn't let it happen.
Absolutely. And now it'll be Bryce Tweet coming up to bat. And he'll take a first pitch ball that misses outside. So it'll be a 1-0 count to Tweet. Let's see if he can bring some of that magic from their game last night and put it into this one. He's going to foul one straight back down.
Right off the steel pole behind home plate. That's the wonderful wind chime sound you heard, was the ball hitting the pole.
Absolutely. It'll be a 1-1 count now with one out. Colts just trying to move the runner over, get him into scoring position now with one out. Here's the pitch from Meyer. Swung on and just scraped foul by Tweet. That'll make it a 1-2 count as Meyer heads back to the mound. So here comes Tweet once again. Takes a deep breath as he steps in to the batter's box. Meyer looks down, takes his sign. Here's the delivery. It'll be outside for ball two. And on that one, the runner, Isaiah Cortez, tried to draw a balk from Meyer. So he gave him a little lunge there, make it appear that maybe he was stealing. Meyer didn't fall for it. Nonetheless, however, he delivers a ball that misses the outside corner. So 2-2 again to Bryce Tweet as Meyer sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, so Tweet will strike out.
Second strike out of the night for Tweet. He's got to not be feeling
number 25. Kyle!
Not at all. So it looks like, unfortunately, that power that we saw from Tweet last night just is not translating into this game, as Kyle Norton, the right fielder, is going to come up to bat for the Colts. It'll be two outs with a runner on first. Here's the pitch, and the runner will take off. It's a bunt attempt, but a miss, and he is out at second base. A nice, nice throw from the catcher, Casey Longacre, there. Again, Kyle Norton was trying to lay down a bunt, but he could not get it down. Instead, Longacre was able to catch that ball, send it down to second base, and Isaiah Cortez will be called out at second. So the Colts come back out onto the field, and we'll head into the top of the fourth inning. With that, we'll head to break, folks.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the fourth inning here at the second game of the Colt 45 season. Unfortunately, those Colts are still trailing 8-0 as they failed once again to put any runs up on the board last inning. So as we head into the top of the fourth, the Colts are looking to hold off the Rosebuds from scoring any more runs. Tacista coming back out on the mound. He has done a good job of holding the Rosebuds off. However, he has given up one run in the two innings he's pitched so far.
34 pitches through two innings. He's not doing too badly conserving his pitch count.
And with that, it looks like James Potts is going to come up to the plate. He'll watch a fastball go by for a first-pitch strike. It'll be an 0-1 count to Potts, the right fielder. Here's the pitch again from Cisa. That one is going to miss outside. It'll be a 1-1 count as Cisa gets the ball back and heads back to the mound. He's going to look down, take his sign. Here's the delivery. Swung on and driven down the right field line, but that'll be foul. So it'll be a 1-2 count to Potts. As Tassista kicks some dirt around on the mound, he's going to head back up to the rubber. He looks down and takes his sign. Here's the pitch. And that ball is driven into the right center gap. That one's going to go past the outfielders and to the wall. There goes Potts, headed for second. He's going to round second, but stay there. No, he's as the Colts try to throw the ball in, it gets past their cut.
And the shortstop, second baseman acting as a cut on that, gets past him and then also under the glove of the shortstop and into the infield. Fortunately, the third baseman came over and got it before Fox could make his way to third.
So Tassista, unfortunately, gives up a leadoff double to James Potts, and that will bring up again the catcher, Casey Longacre. Remember, Longacre had that long home run in the first inning. Contributed well to that 7-run inning. Here's the pitch. That one is swung on and missed by Longacre, and that'll turn it into an 0-1 count. Rosebuds have a runner on second with no outs off that leadoff double from Potts. That was a nice hit right into the gap. Anyways, here's to see the delivery. That ball is going to nick off the glove of catcher Williams. And Potts will mosey on over to third base. So that'll be a pass ball. Missed inside, but just deflected right off of Williams' glove and heads back to the net. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Longacre. Tassista takes his sign, sets up. Here's the pitch and misses high. It'll be a 2-1 count now with the runner on third base and no outs. Now, all the Rosebuds really need to get a run across is something in the air. We'll see if they can get it done. Can't imagine they wouldn't be able to. Here's the pitch. It's going to be in the dirt now, making a 3-1 count to Longacre. Tassista frustrated with that pitch. He's going to get the ball back and rub it around a bit as he looks down and takes his sign. Either way, Tassista's going to come set. Here's the delivery. That ball is going to be driven far and foul over to the right side. Longacre took that one the other way, but was just a tad bit behind it. Couldn't quite get it fair. So it'll be a full count now to Longacre. Tassista hoping here for a strikeout as he looks down and takes his sign. Longacre, deep breath before he steps into the box.
Infield playing back, which kind of surprises me here with a runner at third and no outs.
Here's the pitch. That one is going to miss outside. Tassista very frustrated as he gives up a walk. So now you've got runners at first and third, wondering if maybe this could bring in a intentional walk situation, try to load the bases up and create a forced out with no outs. Tassista gets set, pitches. That ball is driven into left field for a base hit, and Potts is going to come around to score easily. That was Iggy Lawrence on the base hit. The second baseman had a nice hard drive in the left field. That'll score another run for the Rosebuds, making it a 9-0 ball game. And runners will now be at first and second with no outs for the Colts. So Will Cisa sets up one more time and delivers. That ball is going to miss very high. That'll be ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count. Tassista takes his sign from the catcher. He's going to set back up now. Here's the delivery. And ball two, that one will miss high as well. It's getting a little breezy here now at Tiger Field. starting to cool down quite a bit.
So De La Montoya has an interesting swing. There's a lot of action going on when he starts to kind of get wound up. His front foot starts twitching and moving around.
And Cece's going to fake over to second base. The runner will mosey on back there. Cece takes his sign, sets up. Here's the delivery. That ball is grounded to the second baseman, who snags it, sends it on over to first. That'll be the first out of the inning for the Colts, as De La Montoya is put away on a ground ball to second base.
Potts holds at third, so they don't score on that, which is good for the Colts. But they do move the other runner into scoring position at second base.
So now I would think would be a bit of an intentional walk situation. You got runners on second and third, one out. Here comes Riley Say. It doesn't look like they're going to walk him. First pitch is going to miss high for ball one. But with one out, what you really need here is a double play. You've got runners at second and third. You're down 9-0. You might as well put one on first, in my opinion. However, Cease is going to set back up, delivers the pitch. That's going to be on the outside corner for strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now with one out as Cece looks down and takes the sign. Say, staring right back with the bat on his shoulder. Now, Cece gets set. Here's the pitch. That ball is popped up into foul territory. The first baseman, Scott, was chasing after it but couldn't quite reach it. So it'll be a 1-2 count to Say with one away in the top of the fourth inning. So Cece looks down, takes a sign. Again, runners on second and third. Looking for a strikeout here. Here's the pitch. And that one's going to be in the dirt. Bounces away from Williams. The runner, Longacre, is going to come in to score. So that ball was in the dirt, deflected off of Williams' chest protector. Scrambled about 10 feet away, out of reach, so Longacre scores easily, and the runner Lawrence heads over to third base. So now we've got a runner on third. The score will be made 10-0 as Cecista is looking at a 2-2 count to Riley Say. Time is called now as Williams is going to head out and talk to his pitcher. So another rough inning for the Colts, as they've now allowed 2 runs to score.
What do you think they're saying out there, Austin?
Well, he's probably just going out there to calm him down a little bit, maybe apologizing for that missed block that allowed a run to score just earlier. Either way, it's going to be a 2-2 count to Say here as Cecista gets set. Here's the pitch. That ball is grounded lightly over to third base, but it'll be foul as the ball is sent back over to Cecista. It'll remain a 2-2 count with one away in the top of the fourth inning.
I think Say and Cecista played Little League together. Do you think any of that that past history comes into his pitch selection here?
You know, it could, but if it's simply Little League, you know, their pitching styles, their hitting styles have changed a lot as Say fouls one back into the net.
Changes when you're young. I kind of doubt that the maturation results in any sort of knowledge of their tendencies or anything like that at this age.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. They're probably not too familiar with each other and each other's styles. Not to mention the fact that, you know, it's been a long time. So, again, it'll be a 2-2 count as Cecista gets set. So here's the pitch. And that one will miss high for ball three. And Say takes a couple of steps out in front of the plate.
I think he thought it was ball four.
Perhaps he did.
I think he forgot that it was a foul ball on that last pitch. I think he thought that he had ball four. He started to kind of move toward first.
Here's the full count delivery. That ball is swung on and fouled again. in the head. I apologize for that.
there's a little wind and a little barbecue smoke. It's definitely making it a little hard to talk at times here, but making it a really nice evening here for all the fans.
So, Tatisha is going to set back up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike three, and Say is sent packing back to the dugout. That one gets this Colts crowd fired up. Even down 10-0, they're still in this game. So that'll create two outs for the Colts. Again, Iggy Lawrence still standing on third base.
And here comes Parnoe, who is 3-for-3 tonight.
Yes, he is. And Parnoe is going to watch a fastball go by inside. That'll be ball one. So Parnoe now looking to see if he can maybe score one more run for the Rosebuds. Tatisca hoping to not let that happen as he delivers his second pitch. That ball is fouled high and back into the parking lot.
And Say's pitch count getting up there this inning. He's at 26 this inning, putting him at about 60 pitches in the last three innings. So not too conservative, and it's something that the Colts need to be concerned with.
Indeed, and here's the delivery from Tatisca. That ball is going to be swung on and fouled into the foot of Parnoe. So it bounced in front of the plate, but hit Parnoe's foot first, so it'll be a foul ball. The count will be 1-2 with two outs as Parnoe takes a deep breath, steps back into the box. Tatisca trying to get out of this inning now, having given up two runs. Here's the pitch. Strike three called on a nice curveball that just dropped right into the strike zone. Completely fooled Parnoe. So the Colts get out of it, allowing two runs and making this a 10-0 ball game. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating. If you have anything that you'd like to get painted, bring it to Victory Powder Coating. North State Leading Powder Coating Appliances and Metal Finishing. Call 530-278-5298. That's 530-278-5298.
With that, we will head over to break.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the mini tour. Variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to game two of the three-game set between the Reading Colt 45s and the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. Brian Meyer will return out onto the mound for the Rosebuds as the Colts are looking now in the bottom of the fourth inning to try and get on the board. They are trailing 10-0 right now, and they have yet score a run or even really get close. So with that, the first batter of the inning is going to come up.
Number 25.
Kyle Norton. And he is going to stretch out a little bit, chop the bat before he steps into the box.
So Norton started in that bat in the third inning, but the pickoff of his teammate at second base sent him only one pitch, and he took some pine and coming back here in the fourth.
Yes, he did. So that'll make him an 0-1 count, first pitch fastball to Norton. And he's going to check swing the peel over to third base. Third base umpire says he went around, so it'll be a quick 0-2 count to Norton. Not the way he wants to start off this at bat. Either way, he's going to step back in. Here's the quick delivery from Myers. And it's going to miss high. So that'll be a 1-2 count now to Norton. Norton hoping to do something with this at bat, get something started for the Colts here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. That is strike three to Norton. He will get sent packing back to the dugout as the brother of Bryce Tweet, Blake Tweet, is going to come out for his third at-bat at the ballgame. So Tweet had a double earlier in the game. that kind of started to give some life to the Colts, but unfortunately did not result in a run scored. So with one out, he's going to swing and miss the first pitch. That'll make it an 0-1 count as Meyer toes that rubber. Here's the pitch from Meyer, and that ball is going to miss high for ball one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Blake Tweet, the left fielder, as Meyer steps back up and delivers. Ball is popped high and foul into the parking lot. It'll be 1-2 to Tweet. Takes a deep breath, steps back in. So Meyer now working pretty fast in this inning, and he's going to miss with a fastball low and away, so it'll be a 2-2 count to Tweet. Let's see if Meyer can get the job finished right here and send Tweet back to the dugout. He sets up. Here's the pitch. That ball is driven into center field. Center fielder now coming in. He's going to make the catch, and it'll get sent back into the infield. So a high fly ball proves to be the second out of the inning for the Rosebuds as Meyer gets the ball back and heads over to the mound. Here comes the catcher, Ethan Williams. He'll face off against Meyer again. So here's the delivery. That ball is going to catch the inside corner. I'm not so sure about that one.
Boy, the umpire, the home plate umpire, has really had a low zone tonight. Cutler just seems to like those low strikes. And
yes, he does.
Low balls that are strikes.
And with that, another strike will be thrown. It'll be catch the top of the box. That one will miss inside right on the hands of Williams. As Williams steps back into the box, it'll be a 1-2 count. Here comes the pitch. And in the dirt for ball two. So that'll make it a 2-2 count with two outs for Brian Meyer. As he gets up on that rubber, he's going to go into his windup. Oh, run him up. I don't know about that. That was a high fastball.
Cutler seems like he's getting antsy to get out of this game, and it's only the fourth inning. Those were two horrible calls.
Absolutely. And Williams there kind of just stood in the box for a second, not really sure about that call at all. However, he's going to walk back to the dugout, doesn't protest, and Tecista will come back out onto the mound. So as we head into the top of the fifth, remember, folks, this is brought to you by HU Powder Coating. And with that, we'll head over to break.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Well, welcome back to the top of the fifth inning, folks. It's a 10-0 ball game here at Tiger Field. Unfortunately, not in the favor of the Colt 45s. Alas, they are trailing this game to the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. But Will DeCista will come back out on the mound for his fourth consecutive inning. So far, DeCista has given up three runs through three innings. As he starts to warm up, it has not been a great game for the Colts so far, I can tell you that much. Trailing 10-0, they're really having a rough go. Giving up seven runs in the first, just was not doing it for them, and they are yet to begin catching up. So with that, it'll be Brian Meyer, the pitcher for the Rosebuds, coming up to bat. Here's the delivery from Tecista. That ball is going to miss low and away. It'll be in the dirt for ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count for Brian Meyer as Tecista steps up on the mound. takes the sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. That'll be strike one. And it'll be a 1-1 count to Brian Meyer. So Cicista grabs the sign and starts his delivery. Inside on the hands of Myers for ball two. It'll be a 2-1 count. No outs here. Myers leading this inning off. As Cicista sets up, here's the delivery. And that ball misses high for ball three. So it'll be a 3-1 count now to Meyer. Meyer takes a couple practice swings, steps back into the box. 3-1 count. Here's the pitch. That ball is driven into right field. It'll be dove on and missed by the right fielder. Meyer heads over to second, and he will be in there with a stand-up double. That was Kyle Norton out in right field with the dive attempt. Couldn't quite get there, however. And it's going to roll over to the wall, allowing Meyer to get to second base easily. So Cicista will now face his second batter of the inning. It's going to be Andrew Rubalcaba. As Meyer leads off of second, Cicista grabs the sign from the catcher and gets set. Here comes the pitch. That ball is driven high and out of play. Somewhere, landed somewhere close to the stands. Couldn't quite see it. You know, it's the sun's going down and it's getting dark out here, folks. So it'll be an 0-1 count to Rubalcaba. And Cicista is going to get the sign and deliver. That ball is not going to catch the outside corner. Some fans expressing displeasure with the call. Regardless, it'll be a 1-1 count with no outs and a runner on second for Cicista. So he's going to look down, catch his sign, and set up. Here's the pitch. That ball is once again fouled back out of play as Cicista gets the ball, gets another ball from the catcher. And it'll be a 1-2 count now to Rubalcaba. So Cicista looks down, grabs his sign once more from the catcher, sets up. Here's the pitch. No, he's going to fake a pick over to second. The runner, Meyer, will head back over to the bag. No throw from Cicista, however, as he gets set once again. Here's the pitch. Swung on and tapped towards the second baseman. Second baseman coming in on it, and he's going to snag it, send it over to first, and that'll be the first out of the inning. So that looked like it might be a close play as Meyer heads over to third base. But Rubalcaba is just not showing a lot of hustle on his way over to first. That's going to allow Isaiah Cortez to easily make that play from second base. So Cicista now working with one out and a runner on third. He's going to deliver the pitch. That'll be high for ball one to Jared Dumont. Cicista grabs his sign once again from the catcher. Here's the pitch. And driven into center field. It'll be a line drive. Oh, off the glove of the center fielder and going towards the wall. Center fielder will pick it up. I believe that's Bryce Tweed out there. Regardless, Meyer's going to score from third. And it looks like they're going to rule that an error. So, unfortunately, Cicisto gets a tough break. It was a hard-hit line drive into deep center field with Tweet running back on it, stuck out his glove, and it looked like it just bounced right in and right out, unfortunately. So Dumont gets on to second, and Cicisto will deliver now to Potts, who hits one deep again into center field. That one's to the wall, off the wall. Tweet grabs it, sends it back in. And Dumont's going to head for home. It'll be a play at the plate here. And the ball is going to bounce off of the catcher. And Dumont will score easily. So just an absolute mess of an inning already for the Colt 45s. First with the error that allowed Dumont to get on second. And now a long double into dead center field. Well, a double in which Potts was able to head over to third base on the play at the plate. So
that one bouncing off the wall, and you got to be impressed with it. Tweet got it in quick, but then the throw to the plate was just not good, and he didn't give Williams a chance to get a tag on the runner.
No, it was not. So Tatista has a first pitch strike to Casey Longacre, the catcher, and he's going to deliver one more time. It'll be ball one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now. And that play at the plate was reminiscent of what we saw last night, which were many, many messy plays at home plate in which the Colts just could not field the ball. As Longacre calls time and the umpire gives it to him, even though Tatista seemed to be in the middle of his windup. So Tatista obviously not happy about that. He felt he had already started his windup, and the catcher called, or the umpire called time. Either way, he's going to deliver now. That ball will fall in for a strike, a nice curveball there, making a full count to the catcher Longacre. As Tatista grabs his sign once again from the catcher, and he is going to check the runner back at third and start to wind up. There's the pitch, and that's going to be another ball. So I guess that'll make it a 3-2 count. I believe it's a 3-2 count. I'm not quite sure.
Yes, it is.
But Tatista is going to wind up and deliver again, and that ball is going to be in the dirt. So that one will make it a 3-2 count. We have just been off on this at bat, apparently. However, the count's going to be full with the runner Potts over at third base. Tatista grabs his sign. He's going to wind up. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss high. So Longacre gets on with a walk. Runners at first and third now with one out for the Colts. So, again, another rough start to an inning. Just one out for the Colts as they've got runners on first and third base, having already given up two runs. And that'll make it a 12-0 ball game. And there's going to be a wild pitch off the plate. The runner Longacre is going to easily make it to second. However, Potts at third is going to hold up. So now runners will be at second and third with one out, two runs having scored already on the double from Potts. Tatista, obviously a little frustrated, but nonetheless delivers here to Iggy Lawrence. No, this is not Iggy Lawrence. Looks like we've got a substitute in for Lawrence, struggling to read that number. We'll call him Bill. So Tatista winds up and delivers to Bill. That ball is going to be outside for ball two. So it'll be a 2-0 count as Tatista looks down and takes his sign. Here's the pitch. That one will be strike one. So drawing some applause here from the crowd. Tatista finally gets a call. It'll be a 2-1 count as he winds up to deliver again. That ball is hit lightly, popped up to the third baseman who makes the catch. That's Larinaga. So it'll be two outs now with runners on second and third for the Colts. Well, Dylan De La Montoya comes up to bat for the Rosebuds. So let's see if the Colts can get out of it without letting in any more runs. Again, the score is 12-0. Two runners in scoring position. De La Montoya hoping to get those runners across. That ball is going to be way high and outside. It'll miss for ball one to De La Montoya.
So that last batter, the roster shows him as Marty Owens, but Marty Owens isn't on the roster tonight, or in the lineup card tonight. So I'm not sure who exactly they put in that spot.
We're not sure at all. Regardless, he's now back sitting in the dugout. So it'll be Tatista with the delivery again, and that's going to be ball three. So it'll be a 3-0 count now to De La Montoya, and they might just end up losing the bases here. Tatista winds up to deliver. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the top of the strike zone. It'll be a 3-1 count as Tatista gets the ball back from his catcher and sets up. Again, runners on second and third. Count is 3-1 with two outs. Here's the pitch. That ball is fouled back over the net. And it'll be a full count now to De La Montoya. So, Tecesa doing a good job of battling back, coming from behind in this count. And there are now two outs, still two outs, with full count to De La Montoya. So here's the pitch. Again, fouled straight back, almost on an identical spot. And with that, Tecesa will get the ball back once more and head back over to the mound.
I just have to wonder, De La Montoya, when he gets ready to swing, he's doing like a twist at the plate. His front foot is literally twisting multi-directionally.
And with that, Tecesa gets a swing and a miss from De La Montoya and walks back into the dugout. Happy with that strikeout, but obviously a little frustrated with the fact that he gave up two runs that inning. So it'll be a 12-0 ball game as we head into the bottom of the fifth inning. The Colts still hoping to put at least one run across the board. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating. Victory Powder Coating is a proud sponsor of Running Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-278-5298. That's 530-278-5298. Victory Powder Coating. And with that, we'll head on over to break.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the fifth inning, your Colt 45's baseball game. The score tonight is 12-0. Colt 45's have yet to get on the board. That's what they're hoping to do in this bottom half of the inning.
It's looking good for Will Tecesa. He's pitched four strong innings, although his pitch count is starting to get up there. He's at 83 pitches. I wouldn't expect in the last more than one more inning if he comes out again. So we'll see what happens. Next up, right now we just need to see something other than a zero on the scoreboard for the Colts.
That is so true, and you know, coming down 12-0, it's going to be a tough uphill battle for the Colts, especially not having scored at all through four innings. The pitcher, Brian Meyer, has done a terrific job shutting the Colts out tonight as he comes back out for his fifth consecutive inning. However, we're hoping that the Colts are able to start something here. That pitch is going to miss the inside corner for ball one.
I believe that's Nate Scott at the plate.
Here's the pitch. That ball is tapped foul for strike one, so it'll be a 1-1 count to Scott. As Meyer heads back to the mound, gets set. Here's the pitch. That's a nice curveball. Doesn't quite nick the zone, however. So it's going to be a 2-1 count here to Scott. Scott steps in again, getting pretty breezy down here at Tiger Field. Here's the pitch. That'll be ball three. It misses high. And Meyer now falling behind in this count. So Scott steps back into the box. Here's the pitch from Meyer. Strike two. Called there by the umpire.
Meyer been really stingy with his pitches tonight, averaging just under 15 pitches an inning so far.
Yep, he has done a great job of shutting the Colts down. However, with that pitch, he'll miss inside, and Scott will draw a walk as he heads over to first base.
Don't do any more. Yes.
You have to wonder with this temperature cooling down if that's going to have an impact on him.
It could, you know, as the weather gets a little cooler, pitcher's arms start to stiffen up a little bit, and he might not be able to get a nice, catapulting stride. However, he's going to throw a ball one here to Derek Ray, the designated hitter, as he gets the ball back and takes his sign. Here's the pitch. That'll be another ball. So it's going to be a 2-0 count now to
Ray. Meyer gets the ball back. He takes his sign from the catcher. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Looks like that'll make it a 2-2 count to Ray.
Wind really picking up from left to right. Wind's whipping off the center field flagpole.
So that next pitch is going to be a called strike. That'll make it a 2-2 count. Now to Ray as Nate Scott leads off of first base. So here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike three as Ray hangs his head and walks back to the dugout. So that's been the story here tonight. For the most part, the Colts just have not been able to get much done. Hopefully that'll change here as the third baseman, Wyatt Larinaga, comes up to bat for the Colts. Meyer delivers. That ball is going to miss high. It'll be a 1-0 count with one out now.
Larinaga with a fifth inning strikeout in his previous at bat. The strikeouts are really adding up here.
Here's the pitch from Meyer. That ball is going to miss outside. It'll be a 2-0 count to Larinaga as Meyer walks around the mound.
Meyer's got 7 strikeouts here already through 4 in the third.
So here's the pitch from Meyer. It'll miss outside. That was a curveball. Could not quite catch the zone. So it'll be a 3-0 count now to Larinaga. And if I'm him, I'm thinking lay off of anything unless it is absolutely perfect. Here's the delivery, and that's exactly what he did. Lays off of an outside called strike, so it'll be a 3-1 count now. And now he's going to be more inclined to maybe take something he doesn't like so much. However, he'll leave that one up in the air for ball 4. So the second walk of the inning from Meyer, and that'll put runners on first and second. The Colts with only one out. So they're starting to threaten here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Down 12-0. It's going to take a lot for them to catch back up, but hopefully they can get on the board right now.
So Meyer with 75 pitches so far. And not looking good.
Here's the pitch from Meyer. It'll be in the dirt for a ball. 1-0 count now to the second baseman, Isaiah Cortez. Meyer, standing back on the rubber, takes the sign from his catcher. And here's the delivery. Swung on and missed. So it'll be one ball, one strike to Cortez as Meyer gets the ball back from his catcher and takes the sign. Runners take their lead, not being held on too tight. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded up the middle. Fielded by the second baseman. Tossed over to second and dropped by the shortstop. So all runners will be safe. And that will create a bases loaded situation for the Colts with just one out. So it was just a lightly tapped ground ball. Second baseman, that was Iggy Lawrence, fielded it cleanly, tossed it over to the shortstop, Say, and Say could not handle the toss. And at last, the Colts are safe all around.
You had to wonder if Say was thinking about what was coming at him there.
Maybe. Anyway, here's the pitch to Arive Camacho, the number one spot and shortstop for the Colts. He's going to foul that off for strike one. So it'll be an 0-1 count with the bases loaded. Here's the pitch. And swung on and missed. So Camacho seems like he's having trouble seeing the ball tonight. He has not made much contact. Here's the pitch. It'll be 0-2. Swung on and driven into the right center gap. That is going and off the wall. Runners are coming around. There's going to be the runner coming around third. He'll hold there. So two runners score. And there will be runners on first and third. I'm not sure I've seen that before, a single off of the wall. I think Camacho might have thought that ball was gone off the bat. 45. So he is only going to make it to first base.
That's probably the longest season I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was a long shot that went off the right field wall over the right fielder's head.
The Colt 45s put up a crooked number, and they're on the board.
So with one out now, runners on first and third, it'll be a 12-2 ball game. One out still. And Bryce Tweet is going to swing and miss at the first pitch. It'll be an 0-1 count to Tweet. So Tweet now, again, the big shot hitter from last night, still looking to do something important here. And he's got a chance to maybe put a run or two across. And he's going to foul that pitch back behind the net. It'll be an 0-2 count to Tweet. Not the situation he really wants to be in.
Tweet with the grand slam, the two home run night last night, with one of them being the grand slam. He's hoping to be a hero here and put a few more runs across.
All right. And Meyer sets up now. Here's the delivery. And the runner at first is going to take off. That ball is driven hard and foul down the left field line. So Tweet sure got a hold of that one, but couldn't quite keep it fair, and it'll remain an 0-2 count.
I've been impressed with Tweet. He seems to send the ball to all fields. Last night, the grand slam going out into left, and the second home run going out into center right. That hard foul ball, again, being sent deep into the left field foul territory.
And the runner Camacho on first had taken off on that pitch. Wonder if he's going to do the same thing here, and he does not. He's going to stay. So almost a check swing there from Tweet. But he lays off of an outside curveball, and that'll make it a 1-2 count for Bryce Tweet. Meyer catches his sign from the catcher and toes the rubber here. Now he's going to deliver. Swung on and missed. Strike three for Bryce Tweet, and he is obviously not too happy with that. I believe that's his third strikeout of the game. So it'll be Kyle Norton, the right fielder, coming up for the Colt 45s. Now with two outs, runners again on first and second. I can't imagine they would try to run Camacho here. They did earlier in the last at-bat, but Longacre sure has a solid arm as Norton fouls that one back behind the net. So it'll be an 0-1 count with two outs for Kyle Norton as Meyer gets a new ball from the umpire and again looks down to catch his sign.
So Norton hit by a pitch in the first and then a strikeout in the fourth.
Meyer sets up. The runner takes off. Here's the pitch, and the catcher Longacre is just going to hold on to it. So stolen base here for Camacho. It looked like he was trying to maybe draw a balk out of Meyer, who kind of hesitated in his windup, but realized he was a little bit too late to pick off, so instead went home. Camacho got a great jump and made it second easily. That ball almost hits Norton. That'll make it a 2-1 count with two outs. Runners on second and third now for the Colts, so a base hit here could potentially score two runs if Norton's able to get a hold of one. Here's the pitch from Meyer. That ball is going to catch the outside corner. That was a curveball. The home plate umpire, Thomas Hutler, was a little late on that call. Looked like he had to contemplate it for a little bit. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss low and away, so it'll be a full count now to Kyle Norton with two outs in the bottom of the fifth inning.
This will be the 30th pitch of the inning for Meyer, who is definitely struggling this inning, but still only giving up two runs through four and two-thirds.
And that ball is fouled off to the left side. So the count will remain full, two outs, as Meyer heads back to the mound, and Norton steps into the box.
Wind is really whipping right now.
Here's the pitch. Grounded to the first baseman. It's going to be off his chest. And another runner coming home. There will be a play at the plate, but he is safe. So two runners will score on that. The first baseman
Rubalcaba had the ball deflect off of his chest, allowing the runner on third to score, and then the runner on second came around and decided he wanted to go for it, and the throw from Rubalcaba simply was not enough. So on an error there, the Colts scored two more runs, and Norton is going to make it first. So Meyer now gets his sign and delivers to Blake Tweet. And that'll be a first pitch strike to Tweet. Fans not too happy with that call. Here comes the second pitch from... Oh, and there's some activity out there. It looks like the first base umpire is calling a balk on Meyer. So that'll send the runner over to second base. The count will remain 0-1 with two outs. Runner on second. Now, again, the Colts are in a situation where a base hit could potentially score another run for them. So Meyer sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed by Blake Tweet. That'll make it an 0-2 count. Meyer got to be a little frustrated with the fact that he had a chance to get out of the inning, but due to an error by his first baseman, instead gives up two more runs, totaling four now on the inning and the entire ballgame. Here's the pitch, and a swing and a miss. So, just like his brother earlier in the inning, Blake Tweet is going to strike out and head back to the dugout as we head into the top of the sixth. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating. And with that, we're going to head on over to break.
Hi, friends. This is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey, kids. What's your favorite kids' meal at Black Bear Diner? Is it a mini volcano, burger sliders, chicken strips, or strawberry French toast? This month, have a grown-up bring you into Black Bear Diner, and while you're here, ask for a happy cupcake coloring sheet, get creative, and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adults. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back to the Colt 45s. We're in game two of this three-game set against the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. We've got a new pitcher for the Colt 45s, number 17, Rojas. And at the plate is Riley Say, a Reading native playing for the Rosebuds. The pitch. And it's a ball. And he's working pretty fast. And another pitch, and it's that one's a swing and a miss by Say. So now the count 1-1. And a swing and a miss again from Say. There we go. Now we've got a 1-2 count. Rojas looking really strong here. His velocity really good. That was a nice fastball in the lower outside portion of the plate. Williams giving him the sign. Rojas delivers. And drops a nice curveball over the plate to see Sensei just stare at it go by. So Sensei will now take a long walk back to the dugout.
So now at the plate is Darn Parnell, and he takes a strike, just getting across the outside edge of the plate. The pitch, and that one looked good, but it just somehow missed. And so now the count goes to 1-1 to number 14, Parnell. 17 winds up, delivers a big swing and a miss from Parnell. The count going to 1-2 now. He steps out, thinks about it for a second. Looks at the umpire, asks him where it was, wondered if that was really a strike. The pitch, high and away. Count now 2-2. So I apologize. I think we've got Paul Gallegos on the mound, not Rojas. And a foul ball from Parnell. Count will stay 2-2. So Paul Gallegos, now with about 5 pitches, not looking too bad. That ball is outside. Parnell lets it go by. It's now full count.
It's not Gallegos. It's Nichols.
It's Nichols? Oh, well, there we go. That's my third try. You know, third time you get it. This is Nichols on the mound.
Yes, it is. It is indeed
and
Nichols.
And Parnell takes ball 4 and takes a free walk down to first base. I'm going to turn it back over to my partner for the play-by-play, Austin. In the meantime, we've got, let's see, who's coming up now? I think after Parnell.
It's going to be Brian Meyer, the pitcher, coming up to bat. As Nichols sets up, here's the pitch. That is a nice dropping curveball for strike one. So it'll be an 0-1 count to Meyer as Parnell takes his lead on first. One out now in the top of the 6. Here's the pitch. Another nice curveball. However, this one's just going to miss the strike zone. So that'll make it a 1-1 count here. And Nichols looks down, takes his sign. Parnell getting a decent lead off of first. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, that's going to be ball 2. So it'll be a 2-1 count with one out now for Meyer. And Nichols sets up. Here's the pitch. That ball is lifted up into shallow right field.
Could be trouble.
The second baseman is going to run back and make a nice play. That's Isaiah Cortez. Ran back on that ball, caught it over his shoulder.
That was a really good defensive play. Cortez ranging back. Catches it over his head, does a sliding catch with the ball coming over his head as the wind's whipping it around. That was a great play by Cortez.
Yes, it was. So that'll bring Andrew Rubicasa up to the plate as Nichols is looking to get out of this inning. Here's the pitch. That ball's going to be in the dirt. Nice block from William. He's going to send it down as the runner goes. Got him at second as Parnell was trying to take off on that ball in the dirt. Just an absolute dot from Williams, however, and that'll prove to be the third out of the inning for the Colts.
So all of a sudden, the Colts seem to have something going on here. They score 4 runs in their half of the fifth, and they come out and 1-2-3 knock them down with some great defense.
All right, we're going to do the pitcher rating.
Still a long ways to go for the Colts. Still a long ways to go for the Colts, but we'll head down to the bottom of the 6th right after this break.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else.
Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
No, he popped out a second. Welcome back, folks, to the bottom of the sixth inning here at the second game of a three-game set between the Colt 45s and Santa Rosa Rosebuds. The score tonight is 12-4 with the Rosebuds in the lead. Colt 45 scored four runs in their last inning and are now showing some signs of life late in the game here. We'll see if they can maybe get something started in the bottom half of this sixth inning. So, Ryan Meyer, the pitcher for the Rosebuds, coming back out onto the mound for the sixth consecutive inning. Number 21, the catcher, Ethan Williams, comes up to bat. Ethan Williams had a nice block last inning that resulted in a throwout at second, ending the top of the sixth inning. And he's going to take a fastball for strike one here to start the at-bat. It'll be an 0-1 count as Meyer sets up and delivers. That ball in the dirt, so it'll be 1-1 now. Williams, coming up, hasn't done too much this game at the plate, but that one's going to be a nice drive into the right center gap. It'll go all the way to the wall as Williams heads for second. He's going to round second. He's going for three. The throw into third is going to be not in time as Williams slides into third base with a leadoff triple. So that is just an absolutely incredible show of strength and speed from Williams. That ball was hammered down to that right center gap. And Williams really showing some speed as he heads to third and made it there easily. So now that'll bring up Nate Scott, the first baseman, and the Colts, like we said, showing some signs of life. Here's the first pitch to Scott. It'll be low for ball one. So Meyer now, he's been struggling these past two innings. Let's see if the Colts can take advantage of it. Scott takes another ball. That one's going to be just high. It'll be two balls and no strikes. Now, Meyer looks down, takes a sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. That was a big swing. No big contact there, though, as it'll be a 2-1 count, no outs, following the leadoff triple from Williams. Here's the pitch. Swung on again and missed. It'll make it a 2-2 count to Scott. As Meyer gets the ball back, heads to the rubber. Scott now trying to protect the plate. No swing there. Scott almost went for it, but Scott, he leaves that one up a little bit.
Scott is just not looking comfortable at the plate. His swings don't look decisive, nor do his takes.
And with that, he will swing and miss on a full count, meaning strike three in the first out of the inning for the Colt 45s.
Number 24!
So, Derek Ray, the designated hitter, will come up to bat with one out and a runner on third for the Colts. Let's see if he can get something started here, maybe get a run across for the 45s. That ball is going to nick the bottom of the zone. Ray didn't think so. He's going to take a few steps out of the box.
They still haven't adjusted to the home umpire's low strike zone.
Here is the pitch on an 0-1 count.
He adjusts there.
And it's going to be a swing and a foul ball back into the net. So it'll be a quick 0-2 count to Ray as he again takes a walk. The umpire now looking to, looks like he said some words to Ray there, not sure what he was saying. Anyways, Ray is going to step back into the box as Meyer sets up. Here is the delivery. And that ball is going to miss high. That'll be the first ball of the at-bat. They can get a 1-2 count with one out here in the bottom of the sixth inning.
That was a weird exchange with Cutler.
Yeah, it was. And with that, Ray swings and misses at a high pitch and then slams his bat into the ground.
And then, to make matters a little bit more interesting, he bends back and yells something at the umpire. The umpire doesn't seem to be phased, But that was definitely a strange exchange and a strange at bat.
Absolutely. That'll bring up the third baseman, Wyatt Larranaga, who swings and misses at the first pitch for strike one. So Ray, extremely upset after that strikeout. And Meyer delivers another strike. That'll be strike two called. It'll be an 0-2 count with two outs. Well, with a leadoff triple, it looked like the Colts were threatening. But with that next pitch, it'll be strike three. So Larranaga is put away, and Meyer comes back from that leadoff triple and gets three consecutive outs to put the Colts away. So it appears that that little flame that we saw in the Colts might have just died out as we head into the top of the seventh. And with that, we will head over to break.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Well, welcome back to the top of the seventh inning of this Colt 45's ball game, folks. The score is 12-4 in favor of the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, and the Colts are coming back out on the field hoping to shut down the Rosebuds and get back in the dugout so they can potentially put on a few more runs. It'll be Nichols coming back out onto the mound for the Colt 45's. He threw a scoreless inning last inning and is hoping to do the same thing again here, as the catcher Williams throws down to second base.
Hutler, the home base umpire, starting to kind of make himself a bit of a story here tonight. And that's never good when the umpire starts to take his attention away from the game.
No, absolutely not. And that really became the case last inning in the bottom of the sixth when Colt 45's player Derek Ray exchanged some words with Hutler and then slammed his bat after striking out and expressing a great deal of displeasure.
Hutler continues to seem to be distracted by the Colt 45's dugout.
And with that, there's going to be a ground ball hit to the third baseman, overthrown on first base. The catcher Williams backs it up and snags it. So the hitter there, I believe that was Dumont. Yeah, that was Dumont, the hitter. He is going to hold up at first base, and that'll be an E6.
Actually, that was Rubalcaba.
Was it?
Should have been.
Absolutely, it was Rubalcaba. And Jared Dumont is now going to come up to bat. So Nichols should have been an out there. Unfortunately, the ball was overthrown. Here's the pitch to Dumont. It's going to nick off of the catcher Williams' glove. And Rubalcaba is going to easily take second base, so that'll be ball one. Nichols, back on the mound now, takes the sign from the catcher, sets up. Here's the pitch to Dumont. Dumont swings and misses for strike one. The count now is 1-1. So Nichols gets the ball back, leans down, gets the sign from his catcher, sets up. Here's the delivery with the runner on second. And that ball is fouled back behind the net by Dumont. It'll make it a 1-2 count with no outs.
It's just over our heads here.
All right. So Nichols gets a new ball from the umpire. Looks down, grabs his sign once more, sets up. Here is the pitch. swung on and missed for strike three. So Dumont is sent packing back to the dugout, and Nichols records his first out of the inning. Now that runner, Rubalcava, still on second base from that error, which allowed him to reach first. And up to bat is now going to be James Potts, the right fielder, as Nichols sets up and gets ready to deliver. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, that one gets away from Williams, and Rubalcava is going to easily make it to third base. So the second ball that has gotten past Williams this inning, allowing Rubalcava to advance to second and now to third base. So now with just one out, the Rosebuds have a runner on third, and Potts with a 1-0 count. Nichols sets up. Here's the pitch. Sorry about that, folks. That'll make it a 2-1 count.
So Nichols slowly walking his way back to the mound. The ball kind of skirted away there from everyone. And now everybody's kind of got back in order, and we're getting ready to see another pitch from Nichols.
Here's the pitch. Potts drives that one into left field. It's going to be caught by the left fielder, but it will score that runner, Rubalcava, from third base. So Potts does his job, gets the nice sacrifice fly, hard line drive that went straight over to Blake Tweet in left field. And with that, it'll make it a 14-4. No, scratch that. That is going to be a 13-4 ball game with two outs here in the top of the seventh inning. So the catcher, Casey Longacre, comes back up to the plate, and he's going to watch the first pitch go low for a ball. It'll be a 1-0 count with two outs here. Nichols sets up from the windup. Here's the pitch. That'll be a strike called as Nichols gets the ball back. He's going to set up once again. The count is 1-1 with two outs. Here's the pitch. And that one's going to miss high. It'll be a 2-1 count to Longacre. Longacre had that long home run earlier in the game. Here's the pitch. That ball is driven way foul into the parking lot. It'll be a 1-2 count now to Casey Longacre.
They don't want to give Longacre much to hit here, but at the same time, down for 14 runs, they really need to get out of this inning.
And Longacre drives a ground ball over to second base, fielded by Cortez, who tossed it on over to first and gets that third out of the inning. So the Colts give up one in the top of the seventh. They'll head back to the dugout, hopefully get some runs at the bottom of this seventh inning. So with that, folks, we'll head on over to break. Remember, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and wants to help you grow your own eatable groceries. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom vegetables you couldn't find in the store. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Goldleaf Nursery, back open Wednesday through Saturday.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to this bottom of the seventh inning here at the Colt 45's baseball game. Colts are unfortunately trailing 13-4 still. However, we're in the middle of the seventh inning stretch. Well, it's just about wrapping up now. As the pitcher, Brian Meyer, comes back out for his seventh consecutive inning. So, just like the Rosebuds left Hamilton out on the mound last night for all nine innings, it looks like they're going to try and get as much out of Meyer as possible in this game as well. So with that, the leadoff batter will step up to the plate.
Now batting 345.
That's going to be
number 10, Isaiah Cortez.
The second baseman who made a nice play on a ground ball in the top of the inning. So Meyer sets up as Cortez steps into the box. Here's the pitch. Curveball that is going to miss high. It'll be ball one to Cortez as Meyer looks back down. Here's the pitch. That is a hard ground ball up the middle. The second baseman, Lawrence, is going to field it. Drilled over to second, but the first baseman cannot handle that ball. And that's an interesting play. So it looked like Cortez thought he was out because the second baseman delivered a strike right to the first baseman's glove, but the first baseman just dropped it. And so really a nice play turns into an E3 there as Myers pitches now to Arif Camacho, the number one spot. It'll be one ball and no strikes to Camacho with Cortez leading off of first. Here's the pitch from Meyer. That one is driven into center field. Line drive caught by the center fielder. And overthrown. He tried to backpick the runner at first, but overthrew it. And so Cortez will make it to second easily. So what happened there, folks, was a hard line drive to the center fielder, that was Charlie Parnell. Unfortunately, Parnell made the catch coming in and then tried to gun out Cortez, who was tagging up at first. That throw was way offline, went behind the first baseman, and then allowed Cortez to take second base. So kind of a tough break for both teams there. The Colts really could have used that line drive as a double or something, but fortunately it just gives them another base. So it'll be ball one to Bryce Tweet from Meyer as Cortez takes a lead off of second base. So Meyer sets up again. Here's the delivery to Tweet. That ball is swung on and fouled back into the net. Looks like we're having some problems with the scoreboard now, as it is showing 0-0. And nothing up in the ball or strike counters. Well, here is Meyer setting up once again. Gets his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on again, fouled back into the net by Bryce Tweet. Now, Tweet, obviously a very capable hitter, had the two home runs last night, but tonight he's just struggling to get that bat onto the ball. He's not gotten really any solid contact tonight. We're wondering, maybe it's just a little bit of tension. Maybe it's the cold. Not quite sure. Maybe he's just having trouble seeing the ball tonight. That always happens for hitters. Can't escape it. As Meyer fakes a pick off to second, and Cortez heads back on over to the bag. Bryce Tweet steps back into the box. And the pitch from Meyer. And that's going to be in the dirt for ball one. So it'll be a 1-2 count to Bryce Tweet. As Meyer gets the ball back from his catcher, still a runner on second. And Meyer is going to take the sign. He sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to miss high. It'll be a 2-2 count to Bryce Tweet. So, ball sent back over to Meyer again. Still Cortez on second. No outs here for the Colt 45s. And it looks like Cortez is going to extend his lead a little bit. Here's the pitch from Meyer. Swung on and missed by Tweet. That is his third consecutive strikeout. He is not having a great game tonight. Not really that much. Meyer has gotten the best of him almost every at-bat. So, that'll bring up Kyle Norton up to bat as the first baseman's hat just blew off in the wind and flew away. However, he's going to take his position still, and it looks like they're going to pretend like nothing happened. So, the first baseman over there, playing without a hat, we've got a runner on second, no outs, as Kyle Norton gives a weak swing and a miss. Unfortunately, Meyer takes the sign, and let me tell you folks, it is getting pretty windy back around here. Here comes the pitch from Meyer, swung on and fouled back into the wall. And looks like that's going to make it a 1-2 count to Kyle Norton. So Meyer gets the ball back, heads back on over the mound, toes the rubber a little bit. Here he comes set, takes the sign from his catcher. Now here's the pitch with the runner on second. And that's going to miss high. It'll be a 2-2 count now to Kyle Norton. As the ball gets sent back over to Brian Meyer. Again, Cortez on second base. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the pole. It'll be, a 2-2 count to Kyle Norton. You're breathing into the mic. Can you maybe take it away from your face? So, here's the pitch from Meyer. That's going to miss outside. So it'll be a full count now to Kyle Norton. With two outs here in the bottom of the seventh inning. So, full count now to Norton. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled. Again, back into the net.
Foul ball almost hit Wilson Kessel there, assistant coach over there.
Meyer's going to get a new ball from the umpire. The count will remain 3-2 to Norton with two outs here. Cortez still on second base. Meyer takes the sign from his catcher. And now gets set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and bounced towards the second baseman.
That's going to be trouble.
And the second baseman drops it. And Norton is on first base, and that's going to be marked an E4. So an error there on the second baseman. I don't know what happened, but it just popped right out of his glove as he came in to make the play.
Blake
Tweet, brother of Bryce Tweet, is going to come up to bat. Hopefully get a run across for the Colt 45s. They've got runners on first and third with two outs here in the bottom of the seventh. They're threatening just a bit. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss high for ball one. So, Meyer gets the ball back from his catcher, takes the sign, gets set. Here comes the pitch, and catches the outside corner with a fastball. That'll be a 1-1 count now to Blake Tweet. Tweet looks down at Meyer, gets ready for the pitch. Here it is. Curveball that just is going to miss the zone. It'll be a 2-1 count now. So, this crowd still has some life in them. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed. That'll make it a 2-2 count. So the Tweet brothers, like we said earlier, just having some trouble making contact with the ball today. Count is going to be 2-2 with two outs here in the bottom of the seventh. Runner goes. Swung on and missed for strike three. And that'll end the inning for the Rosebuds. Brian Meyer gets out of another scoreless one. Remember, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating, the proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. And with that, we're going to head on to break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Welcome back to the Code 45 baseball game. Santa Rosa, Rosebuds. We're going into the top eighth inning here. Rosebuds leading the Colts 13-4. Well, if you look down the third baseline, right in our VIP pavilion, it's Walter Plumbing enjoying tonight's game from the third base side. Since 1968, they've been servicing the Redding, Anderson, and Red Bluff area as your total comfort specialist. Did you know they do air conditioning, Austin?
I did not.
They do, and they have since 1992.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Walter Plumbing. And with that, we're going to start off this top of the eighth inning. We've got Nichols back out on the mound, who pitches a first pitch strike to, again, our unknown player.
Bill.
That's going to be strike number two. A nice curveball that just dropped right in the zone. It'll be an 0-2 count now as Nichols gets the sign and sets back up. He's working quick. Here's the pitch again. That one's going to be in the dirt and taken for a ball. It'll be a 1-2 count now to start the inning. So Nichols looks down. Here's the pitch. And check swing foul ball back into the net by Bill as Nichols gets a new ball from the umpire. It'll be a 1-2 count still. And Nichols is going to take the sign and wind up. Here's the pitch. Strike three called. And Bill is unhappy with that call.
And finally, the Rosebuds fall victim to Hutler's low strike zone. That one again looking low, but he's been pretty consistent all night long calling those low strikes. And Bill takes a seat.
Yes, he does. So now we're going to have De La Montoya come back up to the plate. He's going to take a first pitch strike that just absolutely throws him. That was a nice curveball by Nichols, making it an 0-1 count with one out on the inning. So here's the next pitch. That's going to be popped up into foul territory, but it's in our blind spot, but it looks like the third baseman, Larinaga, was chasing after it.
Larinaga made a sliding attempt to catch that ball, tried to kind of basket catch it into his chest, and he just couldn't hang on to it. So
that'll make it an 0-2 count to De La Montoya.
So De La Montoya gets to live to see another day.
Nichols sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and tapped towards the first baseman. He's going to throw it over to Nichols, who just beats out De La Montoya at first base for the second out of the inning. And with that, Nichols will head on back over to the mound. It'll be two outs, none on in the top of the eighth, as Riley Say, the shortstop, comes up to bat once again. So Nichols back up on the mound. He's going to take his sign from the catcher, sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be low in the dirt.
Say 0-3 tonight, two strikeouts. He's got to be thinking, put something into play.
Here's the next pitch. That one's going to be a called strike on a fastball from Nichols. That'll make it a one ball and one strike count with two outs here in the top of the eighth inning. Nichols gets the sign. Here's the pitch.
again, another called strike in almost an identical spot. Riley Say not happy with that call. He exchanges a few words with the umpire. It'll now be a 1-2 count. Two outs as Say is looking to defend the plate. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be low and away for ball two. So, two balls, two strikes, two outs here. Bottom of the eighth, top of the eighth inning, I apologize. And Nichols is going to set up and deliver now. Popped back and foul by Riley Say. So he stays alive. You will see another pitch. Say now takes a step out of the box. Does a practice swing and steps back in. Here's the pitch from Nichols. Curveball, it's going to miss high. That'll make it a full count. So, three balls, two strikes, two outs. Here's the deciding pitch of the at-bat, folks. Nichols gets set. Here's the pitch. And a check swing, tapped foul ball over to the right side. So, we'll see another one. And Nichols is going to get the same ball back. Here's the pitch again. Swung on and missed. Strike three. So the Colts get it done without letting in another run. And they'll head into the bottom of the eighth, hoping for a couple last-ditch attempts at catching up here in this 13-4 ball game. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating at 4000 Highway 273 in Anderson. If you have something that you would like to get painted, bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder Coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Call Victory Powder Coating at 530-278-5298. That's 530-278-5298. Victory Powder Coating. That we'll head over to break.
It looks like spring, the time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Crab season is officially open. Shasta Regional Medical Center and Florence Hungerford are proud to bring you the 32nd annual Wednesday Place Crab Feast on Saturday, February 2nd at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. While enjoying all the crab you can eat, you'll have an ocean of fun and help provide shelter and care to local survivors of abuse. Tickets are available at 2250 Benton Drive or online at ospshasta.org. Sponsored in part by Results Radio, Florence Hungerford, Reading Electric Utility, Reading Bank of Commerce, KRCR Channel 7, and Fox 20. For more information, call 244-0118 or visit ospshasta.org.
All right, well, welcome back to the bottom of the eighth inning with this Colts 45 ball game against the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. Your Colts 45s are trailing 13-4. And right now, the Rosebuds have brought in a new pitcher in the eighth inning. It's going to be Ray Villegas. So, my brain is just absolutely blanking. I apologize about that. It was Brian Meyer for the first seven innings, and he gave up four runs through seven at a really solid outing, seemed to keep the Colts subdued. But now it'll turn over to Villegas.
Meyer hit 101 pitches.
Number 21!
Obviously, it's time for
Villegas!
Absolutely.
Let's see what Villegas can do.
Now it is getting very windy down here at Tiger Field, folks. Regardless, we're going to see the first couple of pitches from Villegas here in a couple seconds. He sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be a called first strike to the catcher, Ethan Williams. Williams, in his last at-bat, had a long triple over towards the right field wall. Here's the next pitch. It's going to miss high. It'll be a 1-1 count now to Williams as he steps in the box. Here's the pitch from Villegas. Swung on and fouled back, not quite in the parking lot. Now it'll bounce to the parking lot. And it'll be a 1-2 count to Ethan Williams leading off this inning. So Villegas gets a new ball from the umpire, heads back to the mound, gets set, takes the sign from the catcher. Here's the pitch. That one is going to miss just high for ball two. So it'll be a 2-2 count now to Williams. Here's the pitch. Strike three, rung him up, and Williams just kind of stood there. He did not think that was a strike. The umpire disagreed. Looks like he's trying to get out of here quick. And Williams is sent packing.
I have to say, it's been disappointing to see how many called third strikes we've seen tonight. I think they've just really had a hard time adjusting to Cutler.
Absolutely, and that'll bring up Nate Scott, who watches a first pitch strike go by. That was a fastball, a little low. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be fouled back. It'll be an 0-2 count with one away. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Many of these third strikes are just getting watched as they blow by. And really, the Colts need to start thinking about taking a more aggressive approach at the plate, having only put up four runs in this ballgame.
Yeah, it's been disappointing to watch, and Hutler's been consistent, albeit.
Well, and there's a deep drive into center field. Center fielder, however, is under it. He'll make the catch and send it back into the infield, and with that, Nate Scott will be retired as he heads back to the dugout. Well, that'll bring up the designated hitter, Derek Ray. Ray had an interesting exchange with the umpire in his last at-bat that resulted with a swinging strikeout, and then Ray slamming his bat into the dirt and yelling a few words at the umpire. With two outs, he comes up and watches a first-pitch strike go by. That was a nice curveball that Villegas dropped right into the zone.
Villegas has done a really good job of hitting his marks on the first pitch every time.
And that second pitch is going to be a fastball up and away for ball one. It'll be a 1-1 count now to Ray. As Villegas sets up, here's the pitch. Swung on and flown way foul back behind the net. That ball went sky high.
Villegas' delivery is very interesting. He's got a little bit of a Kershaw-esque delivery as he takes the windup and then brings his front foot down, not all the way to the dirt, and then pushes forward.
Well, here comes the pitch from Villegas. That ball is going to miss outside. It'll be a 2-2 count to Derek Ray with two outs here in the bottom of the eighth inning. So Villegas sets up. Here's the pitch. And that one's going to be in the dirt. So that'll bring up a full count for Ray. This will be the deciding pitch of the inning, folks. We'll see if Villegas can get out of it without allowing a base runner. Here it comes. That ball's going to be outside for ball four as Ray drops his Evo shield and gets down to first base.
Ray finally reaches base after three frustrating strikeouts tonight.
Number one.
He's on for the first time.
Yes, he is. So with two outs, Ray will set up on first, take his lead. Here comes Wyatt Larinaga, the third baseman. Here comes the pitch. It gets away from the catcher, Longacre, and Ray is on his way to second, round second, but holds up. And it'll be a 1-0 count to Larinaga. Again, with two outs, Villegas hoping to get out of this inning without allowing a run. Larinaga steps back into the box. So Villegas sets up. Here's the pitch. And that ball is going to miss high. So it'll be two balls and no strikes to the batter, Derek Ray. As Villegas gets the ball, sets back up, and here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into deep left field. That is going to fall, and a run will score as Larinaga rounds first. So that was a little less deep than I thought. It looked like it was driven far off the bat, but it actually ends up falling in between the third baseman and left fielder,
that wind got a hold of that and knocked it straight down. It did look deep, went right off the bat, but then as you saw the wind catch it, it just kind of fell flat to the earth.
Either way, Larinaga has a base hit. That'll score a run. So the Colts now trailing 13-5 after a run scores from second. Still with two outs, so Villegas unfortunately loses the shutout inning. He delivers a second strike there to Cortez, however. So it'll be 0-2 to Cortez with two outs and a runner on first. Villegas sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and popped back out and into the stands. And it'll remain an 0-2 count.
And all the kids go chasing after that foul ball souvenir.
All right. So, it'll remain 0-2. Two outs with the runner on first. They're holding him tight, but he's got a pretty substantial lead as Villegas doesn't seem to be paying too much attention. Here's the pitch, and that ball is going to miss inside. It'll be now a 1-2 count to Cortez. We'll see if he can do anything with this next pitch. Villegas toes the rubber a little bit, looks down, takes his sign, sets up. Here comes the delivery. Swung on and fouled to the right side.
Cortez with one of the Colts' only four hits tonight.
So it'll remain one ball and two strikes to Cortez. As he stares back at Villegas, who takes a look at the runner on first. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, and that was a hard line drive, but it goes way foul into the parking lot. Cortez really just turned on that one and pulled it hard and foul. That one could have done some damage. It'll remain a 1-2 count with two outs now in the bottom of the eighth inning. Here comes the pitch from Villegas. That one's going to be low and inside. That'll make it a 2-2 count. So two balls, two strikes, two outs. Bottom of the eighth inning. Runner on first. Colts down by eight runs. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike three, and Villegas gets out of it, allowing one run. And we'll now head to the top of the ninth. The Rosebuds are going to get their last shot with the bats. See if they can add on to that eight-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Victory Powder Coating. We'll see you after the break.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and wants to help you grow your own eatable groceries. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom vegetables you couldn't find in the store. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Gold Leaf Nursery, back open Wednesday through Saturday.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the ninth inning here at your Colt 45's baseball game against the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. Not looking so good for the Colts right now. They're down eight runs. The score is 13-5 heading into this top of the ninth inning. And if the Colts really want to try to make a comeback, they're going to need to shut the Rosebuds down hard here. As Nichols comes back out onto the mound, he's done a great job so far for the Colts on the mound. Here's the first pitch of the at-bat. It's going to be in the dirt for a ball.
Rosebud's out hitting the Colts 12-6 tonight. It's been a long, kind of frustrating evening for the Colts, for sure.
Yes, it absolutely has. Now, this is, I believe, Charlie Parnell at the plate. He's going to watch a ball go in the dirt for the second ball of the at-bat. It'll be a 2-0 count.
Parnell three for four tonight with a walk and strikeout.
Here's the pitch. That ball is not going to touch the lower corner, so it'll be a 3-0 count, and Nichols is going to get the ball back. He comes set. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to be outside for ball four. So the Rosebuds lead it off with a walk, and with that, it's going to be the former pitcher, Brian Meyer. Wait a minute. That's not Brian Meyer.
No, we've got a
substitution.
So this looks to be number 26 for the Rosebuds.
So it's going to be the pitcher. It's going to be Villegas, who is going to just take the spot of Meyer on the mound like he did last inning, and he'll take his spot in the order as well. So it'll be one strike now to Villegas. Here comes the pitch. That ball is bounced up the middle. Nichols has it. He decides to go to first, so it'll move the runner over, but the Colts will get an out of it. So we'll have a runner on second with one out. Now, I apologize, folks. Never mind. I apologize for the apology. I was mistaken on something there.
You thought you were wrong once, but you were wrong.
Yep, that's pretty much how it goes. So, here comes the pitch from Nichols. That is going to catch the outside corner for a strike to Andrew Rubalcava, the first baseman. So, Nichols gets the ball back, sets up, checks the runner at second. Doesn't look to be paying too much attention to him. Here's the pitch. It's a curveball. Bounce to third base. He's going to check the runner back at second, throw over to first, and Rubalcava will be out by a long shot, and the runner will stay at second. So, a nice play there by Larinaga to get the out at first base. And Nichols now will have two outs as Jared Dumont comes to the plate. So, Nichols grabs the sign. Get set. Here's the pitch. And that's going to miss high for ball one.
Dumont had a double in the fifth inning, but he's had three strikeouts tonight, so he's only one for four and probably a little frustrated right now.
Absolutely. It'll be a 1-0 count to Dumont, and Nichols is going to fake a throw over to second base, getting the runner to dive back into the bag. Well, now, here's the pitch from Nichols. That ball is going to be in the dirt, and it'll get past Williams as the runner on second is going to head over to third. So, Dumont now will be working with two outs, a 2-0 count, and a runner on third base. Let's see if he can get a run across for the Rosebuds. Nichols checks the runner back, gets his sign, sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be strike one to Jared Dumont. So it'll be a two-ball, one-strike count as Nichols gets the ball back and sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven down the right field line, just foul. That missed the line by maybe a foot. But it sure was a shot as it rolls all the way to the wall.
You could probably hear that. You could probably hear that out there. That was a hard hit ball right off the sweet spot.
So it'll be a 2-2 count now to Jared Dumont as Nichols looks down, takes his sign from the catcher, sets up. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to be spiked in the dirt, and the runner at third will come home easily. That's Parnell, who will score on the wild pitch. I don't think Williams had much of a chance at all of blocking that, as it was just spiked straight down. So Nichols gives up a run in the inning. That'll make it a 14-5 ball game and increase the gap to 9 runs for the Colt 45s and Rosebuds. It'll also make a full count for Jared Dumont as Nichols winds up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three, so if that pitch had just come a second earlier, they might have made it out without giving up any runs, but alas, one run is allowed in this top of the ninth inning. Colts have one more shot when we come back. It'll be the bottom of the ninth, down by 9 runs. Let's see if they can get something started. We'll be back after the break.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents live on stage Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion fits?
Young Frankenstein, May 6th through the 29th. Tickets at the box office on Bocelli Lane or online at axreptheater.com.
Well, welcome back to the Colts 45. Well, the Colts have been letting runs leak across the plate. They're down 13-5. But hey, if they only had Walner Fleming, they'd be doing better. Walner Fleming is enjoying tonight's game from the third baseline in our VIP pavilion. Since 1968, they've been servicing Redding and Anderson and Red Bluff, which are Colts comfort specialists. And they do air conditioning and have since 1996. Walter Fleming is going to be our keeper this evening. Thank you, Walter Fleming.
All righty. So, Ray Viegas is going to come back out on the mound for his second consecutive inning here. Going to try to close it out for the Rosebuds. As number 12, the number one spot in the order, Arif Camacho, is going to come up for the Colts. So at the top of the order coming up, the Colts hope they can maybe get some runs across, make this game a little more bearable. But Camacho looks like he's going to take a first pitch strike. That was a curveball. Nicely done by Viegas, who sets up now. Here's the delivery. Swung on and grounded sharply to shortstop. He's going to toss it over to first base. I don't know what exactly happened there, but it's going to be out. So it looked like Riley Say at shortstop threw a little bit high to the first baseman who had to jump up and catch it. But I believe Camacho tripped and fell, so the first baseman for the Rosebuds was able to get back to the base in time and get the out. Either way, it'll be one out now for the Colts 45s in the bottom of the ninth inning. So they've only got two outs left to work with, down 9 runs. As Bryce Tweet, who has been seriously struggling tonight, comes up to the bat, he's going to watch a first pitch strike go by. That ball is a little high, but the umpire says, who cares? It's still in the strike zone. As Viegas winds up, here's the pitch. That ball is driven long and deep into center field. Unfortunately, the wind is just going to knock that straight back as the center fielder makes the catch. Now, off the bat, I thought that ball could have a chance.
The wind blowing straight in from center field, unfortunately. That was the thing that made the difference. It probably would have gotten out of here last night, but not tonight.
Not at all. It is very windy down here at Tiger Field. And now, with just one out left to work with in the bottom of the ninth, Kyle Norton's going to come up to the plate. He's going to take a first pitch fastball a little high for a ball. So it'll be a 1-0 count with two outs.
Now, if the Colts could only do what the Rosebuds did last night, score 7 runs here.
And there's a drive. That's going to be in the center field. A very similar spot to the last one, but it's going to be caught as well. So that'll end the game. Unfortunately, your Colt 45s take a loss. Final score here, 14-5 at Tiger Field in favor of the Rosebuds, and Viegas closes it out. Well, that sure was a rough one, but there's not much you can do in a situation like that, down 9 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning.
No, and and unfortunately, Colts dropped game two of this three-game set versus the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. They'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, first pitch, here at historic Tiger Field. But, yeah, definitely a rough one tonight for the Colts, losing 13-5 in the end. And the story of the night, or the story of the last two games, really, for the Rosebuds has been their pitching. Complete game last night, and then two pitchers tonight combining for only five runs given up. And so the Rosebuds have really made it work for the last few games.
Yes, they absolutely have. And definitely not the result the Colt 45s wanted, taking their second loss of the season in just their second game of the season. But they'll try to come back and get it done tomorrow night. 6 o'clock start time tomorrow, Sunday. And with that, I'm Austin White, here with my partner Ken White, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Have a great night, everybody.
We now return to our regularly scheduled broadcasting.
A dozen times when I was traveling down in Texas, and I was born in San Antonio, which is the biggest city close enough to Uvalde. And it's a little town you go through on the way to Fredericksburg to go to the museum out there. I don't think those are intentional. I think it's a lot of misinformation, not necessarily generated by someone with intent. And so I look at what transpired in that school, and I'm drawn to several conclusions,
okay,
even with what we know. One, it took way too long to get to the shooter. Number two, there was almost apparently no operational security that was in place out there. Number three, you've got, quite frankly, an attack on an elementary school was not in the planning of anybody, apparently. And so, yeah, it took 4 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it was, to get police on the scene. But then it took another over an hour, I guess. I was looking at the timeline you guys had up this
yeah.
morning. And it's still guessing at how many minutes it took for people to move around inside the building. So, you know, without getting into the morality, I do want to get into that as we talk about it, because it's directly related to the book. And we didn't, by the way, the book was long planned to come out in May because it's election season officially begins with primary season. Primary season is in May, and that's why we brought the book out in May. It had nothing to do with the expectation we're going to have three mass murders, you know, wild gunmen in the space of 11 days. But
okay, yeah.
If I look at the mechanics of what you got to do, what we're not doing, and I'm not bragging or complaining, when I was president of the NRA, we had a program called School Shield. It was based on military theory of how you protect things, okay? And it's a defense in depth. It basically has four parts. First of all, you got to decide what your defensive zone is, if you're protecting a seaport or an airport or a military base. Number two, you got to have intelligence gathered about what the threat really is. Number three, you've got to be able to intercept the threat between where the threat's coming from and trying to get to. And number four, you've got to have point defense, the kind of protections that means somebody's got a firearm out of their holster or on their shoulder, engaging the adversary. Now, those are four things that are fairly complex if you don't know what you're doing. We were actually running the program. It started in 2012, even before I became president of the NRA. And I would like to see it still being advocated. I don't know that it is. I got fired over there. That's a different issue. And the bottom line of it, those kinds of techniques will protect a place. You just got to decide politically whether you're going to allocate the resources necessary, and most of it's money. The fact is, if you're going to harden a school to protect the kids inside it and the teachers, then you're going to have to do things like lock the doors. You got to have the ability to electronically shut things down. You got to have the ability to have the cops be able to open a door if the bad guy's inside killing kids, like this guy was. All those kinds of things have to be taken into consideration, and you need experts at it. A lot of people don't even know this, but the Secret Service, working with the Department of Education, way back in, I think it was 2002 or 3, put together an actual operational plan for how you go about protecting kids in school. Nobody's paying attention to it. We've got hundreds of billions of dollars that were allocated that haven't been spent yet from the COVID stuff. Some of it was supposed to go through the K-12 education. I'm told there's a boatload of it. So
right.
My suggestion very quickly is what you do is you reopen the what was recommended either by NRA or by the Secret Service and the Department of Education. Number two, put the money into it. Number three, in addition to arming people inside schools to protect kids, that's the point defense people. You can't just wait for the folks to show up from town. If the cops aren't in the school, school resource officers, it's going to take too long to get there. I don't care where you are.
So they say nationally 19% of elementary schools have an armed officer, 45% of middle schools, and 67% of high schools. But right. But I'll tell you what, you could have the most sophisticated or rudimentary security plan, but if this is the case, we got a problem. Here's the Texas Department of Public Safety Regional Director, Victor Escalon.
So right now, you know, during the investigation, it appears it was unlocked. So we're going to look at that and try to corroborate that as best as we can.
And you have a high school, excuse me, a grammar school with the doors unlocked.
Right.
My goodness. Not only is there not an officer, but it's an unlocked school. I don't remember last time I went to pick up anybody in school and there wasn't one entrance in and one entrance out anywhere.
Look, we protect our airports, our banks, our government buildings. The Fox News headquarters in New York has better protection than an elementary school down the street. Think about that. When we came into the building, whether I was working out of Washington or working out of New York, there's armed guards down in the lobby. They don't wave the guns around, but you can't get through that lobby without the proper ID or a note from somebody saying, Brian Kilmeade, St. Hollywood's coming in to see me, right? How the hell is it that we've got schools that are wide open? I want to add one more thing to what I recommended, okay? I would recommend that if you want to be able to use role models as good examples, human beings learn best when they are shown something rather than reading about it or watching a video. Fact of life. I would like to see a program to hire, let's say, pick a number, 250,000 veterans who would be in schools, whether they're disabled or whether they're whatever, would be in schools to be mentors, to be counselors, to be the kinds of people. Here we are. This is Memorial Day we're talking about. And I'm going to recommend this at the Heroes Festival down in Daytona when I get down there on Saturday. I would like to see 250,000 veterans in the schools as mentors, counselors, coaches, and the kinds of people who are alert enough to see something that's not right and do something about it. I'm not saying they don't all have to be armed. Some of them probably should be. I would like to see more of that kind of point defense capability in the school already.
Well, a couple of things, Colonel. There's one thing that's pretty clear. We have to be able to harden every target, the smallest and biggest school. And if there's ever a national program that you kind of mentioned, that there is money there, pandemic or not, that American people can get behind Republicans and Democrats, it's that. And many people point to the fact that you remember skyjacking. And that there was skyjacking was happening like 11 a year for a long time. We decided we're going to not allow that to happen. And thankfully, it doesn't happen now. Sadly, we still have some blown out of the sky, and we saw it happen on 9/11. That's the same thing that's got to happen. There's a national sentiment to support that. And I would love to see a hardening of that. And why not? If there's not enough retired cops, I think we're military, coming out of the military, especially now as we wind down two wars, which are done, but we might have to go back in someday. Why not just make them the first hire to go into the schools, big and small, and be capable of, go through the training for this specific operation to be able, two of them in every school. Why not?
At least two. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the size of the school.
And let every killer know. If you're going to try for school, that's a death sentence.
What do we put up a sign outside the school. It's a big yellow sign that says, gun-free zone.
And that means
that's
attack.
That's what makes crazies like the three that committed these massacres over the course of the last, 12 days? I mean, it's unbelievable.
So what makes you think, you write this book, Tragic Consequences, The Price America's Paying for Rejecting God and How to Reclaim Our Culture for Christ, and you can check it out on faithfultext.com. What do you mean America is rejecting God? We're supposed to have a separation between church and state, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Look, it began in 1962. The case is Engel versus Vitale. It was an upstate New York lawsuit. Engel was the person who wanted to get rid of prayer in school. And so they did. In 1962. I was in the last high school class in America where you could actually graduate saying a prayer. Almighty God, We thank you for your support for us. We beg your blessings on us, our parents, our teachers, and our school. It's almost exactly what the prayer was. That's 62. 1973, Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade is more than a cultural degradation. It's a part of driving God out of the lives of the American people. And what you got is not just infanticide, it launched an assault on the sanctity of human life, polarized our politics, and results in threats against conservative justices. All of that is a consequence, is driving to the tragic consequence of a nation that no longer regards God to be part of their day-to-day lives. Every time I hear someone like that congressman who wrote off to Ted Cruz and several other people using profane language, by the way, a former Marine, which is really painful. He's an Arizona congressman. I don't even want to use his name. He writes off to people using profane and vulgar language and talks about effing prayers. Okay? Now, let me just tell you something. That's the kind of thing that's got to stop in this country. That's right. The kind of thing that has driven people over the brink. Today, we've got people who pretend to be God because they're multi-bazillionaires, and God is not happy. And what this book offers is a solution. In every chapter, there's what you can do about it. I'd like to take the congressman aside and just ask him, what did you expect to happen in America when you drove God out of our schools, our public gatherings, the media, the entertainment world? What did you expect the outcome was going to be? Because we're seeing it. It's much more than simply the issue of a Supreme Court decision. It is the people of America who have got to get back down. And look, I'm an old man. Somebody asked me, why did you write this book? I'm an old man. I've got 18 grandkids. I'm selfish about their future. I'm for the first time in my life, concerned that this nation may not survive as it is. And I wanted to leave behind something that they could look at and say, that was my granddad. He taught me. He didn't just talk about it.
Right.
He showed me,
believe me,
how to fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith.
You're a great example for everybody 365 days a year, let alone people you're related to. But I'm going to close out to somebody. The NRA kind of went south when you went in there and tried to fix it. They didn't like that. They decided they're going to have to get rid of Oliver North, and they've gone down south ever since. Should they be having a conference in Houston today?
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a membership out there. The membership needs to be supported. Those used to be wonderful extravaganzas. I understand it's much smaller than it used to be. I think something's got to change. The country needs an NRA. Let's keep it that way. It needs something to support the Second Amendment and do the kinds of training and safety programs that the NRA was doing for years. The NRA also needs to be able to go out there and raise money to do things like School Shield.
About the timing of it, Colonel.
Well, but it was, remember, you can't book a venue in America, it's 2 weeks out. You've got to book it, you know, months out.
Gotcha.
And the thing was booked in Houston way before. I know that, look, there's people down in Texas right now that are saying, the reason all this happened is the NRA is here. That's
totally,
that's the
we know that. Yeah, that's crap.
Well, of course that. But Colonel, as you and I both know, it's more than a political issue.
Colonel Oliver North, we didn't get to Ukraine, but we got to more important stuff about the future of America. It's all in your book, Tragic Consequences, The Price America's Paying for Rejecting God and How to Reclaim Our Culture for Christ. Colonel North, thanks so much.
Thank you, brother. Semper Fi.
Yeah, back at you, and I will hopefully see you soon. When we come back, it's your time to talk. I'll go over the timeline a little bit more on what we know. We're going to get more details within our show. You're listening to The Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
Educating, entertaining, enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Are you a real estate investor looking to refinance one or more of your properties? Most lenders only work with cookie-cutter W-2 borrowers. At Cash Call Mortgage, we have loans designed specifically for investment properties. We qualify customers based on the cash flow from the investment property. Borrowers can get up to $2.5 million. That's right, $2.5 million. No tax returns or employment verification needed for our investment property loans, and absolutely no lender or broker fees. If you're a real estate investor looking to refinance a mortgage on one or more of your investment properties, give Cash Call Mortgage a try. To see if you qualify, visit cashcallmortgage.com or call now. Call 800-940-4148. That's 800-940-4148.
800-940-4148. 800-940-4148.
Cash Call Mortgage is a DBA of Impact Mortgage Corp. NMLS ID 128231. Not all applicants will qualify. Equal housing lender. Licensed by California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. Residential Mortgage Lending Act License Number 4131083. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions. Or visit cashcallmortgage.com.
Let's plan on having concessions over there.
Mike is remodeling the old family drive-in movie theater.
Go find Gavin. Tell him the sound team is here.
He'll need a new front-of-house cast and behind-the-scenes crew.
Hey, can we talk staffing real quick? I'm thinking at least six per shift.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If your paycheck is being stretched thin, there are ways to save on some purchases that you might not even think about. Sure, it's hard to save when it comes to fixed expenses like rent, mortgage, car payments, property taxes, and insurance premiums. But you can try scaling back when buying certain items, which can add up. Start by trying to find out how to score deals on big-ticket items. For example, if you need a TV, wait until January when last year's models are discounted to make room for the new ones. And how about furniture? Retailers often clear out their stock around Independence Day, making July prime time for scoring cheap items. And try getting stuff for free by using social media platforms like Facebook and Nextdoor. You can check out if your neighbors are looking to get rid of some goods, cause you never know. And when grocery shopping, come with a list in hand. In addition, devote a few hours to meal prep every week, which will prevent you from overbuying in the long run. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Parents in nearly half the country experiencing a shortage of baby formula. And the problem is getting worse. Jenny Erickson has an 8-month-old baby.
It's incredibly stressful to not know if I'm going to be able to feed my baby next week.
The shortage began with supply chain problems and was then made worse after a major producer, Abbott Nutrition, had a voluntary recall in February when four infants who drank their products became sick and two died. The Food and Drug Administration in March announced they found Abbott's plant in Sturgis, Michigan, failed to maintain sanitary conditions. In a statement, Abbott Nutrition says they're working with the FDA to fix problems at the Michigan plant and are ramping up infant formula production at other facilities. Quote, we're dedicated to doing everything possible to ensure parents and caregivers have what they need to feed their babies. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Alan Lomax, who died in 2002, was an American folklorist and musicologist. Lomax was involved in the archive of folk songs at the Library of Congress and a pioneering oral historian who recorded the early story of American folk artists.
Since I was 17, that was pretty close to 18 straight years. I'd been in every back alley and every little town, and it got so I wasn't feeling fresh about America. It was coming out of my ears, and I wasn't enjoying it anymore. So it seemed to me that the big problem that time was to make the world feel like a world of various people speaking various languages, all about the same big human problem.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
It was reported that a school district police officer confronted the suspect that was making entry. Not accurate. He walked in unobstructed initially. So from the grandmother's house to the bar ditch to the school into the school, he was not confronted by anybody.
And that was the most stunning news I got out of everything. And it's not so much the fact, it's the fact that we're told something totally different. That they were, he was confronted, was the shooter, the 18-year-old, by an armed guard who was able to confront him, get a shot off, and able to drop a bag full of ammo, or it could have been so much worse. It turns out to be total fiction. Who's responsible for that story and continue to tell that story for at least a day or two is nuts. I'm used to the fog of war. One person was in, two person was in, one person had a gun, too. I'm used to that. But not a whole fictional confrontation at somebody's, I guess some cop show they watched the night before. Bottom line is 19 kids dead, two teachers, 15, 17 were actually put into hospital. Most are expected to survive. The grandmother who was shot in the face also expected to survive. She has a lot of answers. She can't talk, but she can write. Hopefully she'll start helping us out to find out how this kid got so twisted and how he was able to stay under the radar. Brian Kilmeade Show.
A bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221 1-800-441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Multiple witnesses that I spoke with said as soon as they heard gunshots, they immediately jumped in a car, got to Robb Elementary, and that's where they were met with law enforcement. They couldn't get into the school. It got to a point where a group of parents actually huddled together and were game planning to go into that school. We've also learned that a mother was actually placed in handcuffs from federal marshals. We also know that a father was tased, attempting to grab his kid once his kid was on the bus. Multiple parents told me that they were frustrated by law enforcement inaction and don't understand why it took so long to get to the shooter.
And with about an hour, Jorge Ventura of the Daily Caller reporting that because we found out yesterday that there was no confrontation with the killer. He got in through an open door, and he was able to hang out in that classroom for an hour. But then we did get some amendments to that. For some reason, this wasn't made clear yesterday afternoon. The two officers went in, both were shot, one in the ear, one in the arm, and still hung in there for a while outside that door. Jack Carr knows all about the dangers in going into a room like that through of hostile actors. He's a former Navy SEAL. His latest book is In the Blood, a thriller. It's his fifth thriller in the Terminal List series. And Jack Carr joins us now. Welcome, Jack.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
So Jack, the Border Patrol, the border tech, the Bortec, was the ones who took this shooter down. They waited for them to arrive because evidently these cops weren't trained to handle a situation like this. They borrowed the U.S. Marshal's shield and they went into a stack with a stack of four, maybe more. Do you need an expertise like the type you have and they have in order to be successful? Or is there another thing that an officer could do?
Well, it certainly helps, but it's really about that mindset. In an extremist situation, you run into the sound of the guns. And you think that most police officers have that. You think that most special operators have that in the military, especially when it's a hostage situation, which calls for going in and saving that hostage. That's what you have here. Of course, you have a barricaded shooter. But what we have is so much data to go back and look at and understand that, hey, history is probably going to repeat itself. So it's just a matter of time for this happens again, whether it's a shooter like this or it's terrorists. We go back to the Beslan school siege in September of 2004. That was 3 days where Chechen terrorists took over a school. Ended up over 300 people were killed in that. And that is something that could very well happen here. And why? Because our schools are soft targets. Our airports were soft targets. We fixed that after September 11th. We neglect to look at the pages of history, not in very recent history. 2004 wasn't that long ago. And we refuse for some reason to harden our schools. Israel has done it. They've been very successful in doing that. But we, for some reason, refuse to protect the softest targets among us. And it's unforgivable.
Right. 19% of elementary schools have an armed guard. They say 67% of high schools have them. What would it take for you to feel good about the school that somebody in your family was going to? How many guards? Would they be armed? Would teachers be armed?
Yeah. Yep, it all depends on the size of the school, obviously, how many students, how large a landmass that you're talking about there. So with those factors in mind, it's definitely armed guards with ARs, with that AR-type weapon system, because you will go to a place that is not as hard as that one if you're looking for a place to commit these crimes or commit an act of terrorism. So what Israel has done, they have, that's what they have. And guess what? Their teachers, for the most part, also carry concealed. And for some reason, our teachers or our school districts, whatever it might be, they don't want to take that step. They just don't want to believe that they live in a world where that is necessary. And, you know, I'll tell you what, for most of human history, it has been necessary to have these skills to defend yourself, to right. defend your family, defend your tribe. Only for a very small portion of human history have we been able to outsource these types of things and to think that we can call 911. But by its very nature, that means that the police are showing up afterward, after the crime has already been committed. So it's up to the quote-unquote victim to not be a victim, to be prepared and to protect themselves and to protect those in their care.
Jack Carr with me now, former Navy SEAL, New York Times bestseller, brand new book out called In the Blood, a thriller to continue on with this series. Just go over the timeline. 11:28, the killer arrives and crashes his truck. We don't know why. Then he gets up and indiscriminately fires at two people at a funeral home. And by the way, his grandmother called 911 after being shot in the face by this mutant. So then a 911 call comes in from the funeral home people, we assume. Ramos lingers outside the school for 12 minutes, firing shots before he gets into the school unobstructed. Jack, the door was open. 11:43, he goes into Robb Elementary School, and he starts going looking around for people to attack. He walks 30 feet down the tunnel. He walks another 20 feet into a classroom where he kills all 19 kids and two teachers. The police arrive at 11:44. They don't go in to the building, we understand, until 1:05. 11:54, the parents get so enraged, they start begging police to let them go into the building to give them their armor. What do you glean from this situation?
I mean, it's just so heartbreaking on so many different levels. We have a situation just a couple of years ago in Nairobi, Kenya. Christian Craighead, he's off duty. Well, not off duty. I mean, he's a part of the SAS, British SAS. He happens to be in Nairobi. A suicide bomber walks into the courtyard of a hotel, detonates, is followed up by multiple terrorists with AKs that enter the hotel and start executing people floor by floor. I had an American on my podcast, Maile Chapin, who was in one of those rooms hiding for 17 hours. And she credits Christian Craighead for hearing that the suicide bomber go off, for hearing the gunfire, and for running to the sound of the guns. And as a single person enters that hotel and starts taking out those terrorists, he ran to the sound of the guns in an in extremis situation. And she credits him with saving her life and hundreds of others. So that's what a situation like this requires. It requires that you run to the sound of the guns. And I mean, you have to do that. But regardless of what people think about Second Amendment issues and all the rest of that, while people debate that in this country, in the meantime, we can harden these targets. We can make them harder. We do it with our airports. We do it with banks. We do it with jewelry stores. Politicians are surrounded by 24/7 full-time security. We can do that to our schools. We can make them hard targets. And for whatever reason, we neglect to do that. And then we can also give police officers a little bit more training. And they should be thinking about this. So the first time they think about having to enter an area where someone is barricaded and has hostages, especially children, it shouldn't be on the day that it's happening. They should be thinking about that ahead of time. They should be training for that ahead of time and know that their job requires them to run to the sound of the guns and take action. So it's it's heartbreaking all around. But in the meantime, as the country debates certain issues, we can harden our schools and make them harder targets.
Right. We'll debate it. Here's what Senator John Cornyn said. It looks like he's getting together with Republicans, the Democrats, and try to work something out. Cut 21.
I think there's a sense of, urgency that maybe we didn't feel before. We're going to try to work through this and see if we can find that common ground. That's what I think our goal should be.
So what would you think would be acceptable for gun users?
Yeah, well, the common ground should be to harden our schools. Well, these guys.
Number one. We agree with that.
Yeah, number one. Absolutely. Like, that is.
Would you raise the age to 21 to buy an AR-15?
No. You know, you can pick out certain things here and there always and have more laws on the books. We have so many different laws on the books already, but hardening our schools for sure, making them harder. If someone keeps breaking into your house time and time again, or someone keeps coming in, let's say you have a large family, keeps coming in and killing one of them, how long is it going to be until you harden your house, until you get armed security, until you put up gates, until you put up lights, until you put up cameras, until you train your family what to do when this happens, until you start carrying concealed to make them go somewhere else and look at you not as a soft target but as a hard target. You know, signs that say this is a drug-free zone or this is a gun-free zone, don't do much of anything. All it does is make sure that the law-abiding citizens aren't there to save the day when they need to be. In fact, it's a magnet for people that that want to commit these kind of crimes. So
understood.
It's heartbreaking and it's unforgivable.
Let's talk about your book, In the Blood, a Thriller. It's the fifth one in your series, and it's James Reese is in the center of the action. Set the scene.
That's right. This is a sniper-centric novel of violent resolutions. And there's some unfinished business in the last few novels that gets taken care of in this one. But it's the fifth in a series. The first one is being turned into an Amazon Prime video series this summer, dropping on July 1st, 4th of July weekend, starring Chris Pratt, directed by Antoine Fuqua. And it is amazing. I could not be more thrilled with how that turned out. But this latest book just hit the New York Times list at number one, debuting there yesterday. So that was fantastic. And it's people's favorite thus far. So that makes me feel pretty good. But this one right here is it's very personal. It's very emotional. And other than the theme of a sniper-on-sniper type of engagement, without that trope of two snipers on separate hillsides or buildings that are looking for each other at the same time and shoot at the last second, I needed to write a sniper-centric novel that didn't have that scene, because that scene's been done. And as much as I love it, I had to figure out a way around that one. So there's also a theme in here that's of forgiveness, which is a little strange, because that one appeared as I was writing. But don't worry for anybody listening out there. I'm not joining the Oprah Book Club anytime soon. There's plenty of explosions and vengeance throughout. So yeah, just couldn't be more thrilled that this thing debuted at number one. And that's all due to people taking a risk on me, reading it, and telling a friend. So thank you to everybody.
And knowing, Jack, that you lived it, a lot of this stuff, your firsthand experience and the context you have to bring some authenticity to these stories, I think goes a long way. It's called In the Blood, a Thriller, the fifth in the Terminal List series. Jack Carr, congratulations. Thanks for your insight. You can also follow him at Jack Carr with two R's USA. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Take care.
You got it. 1-866-408-7669. When we come back, we'll open up the phones and get your take on the timeline as we know it. We're about to get more information, and then we'll share them with you. And then, what are you on board with? Whether you are a grandparent, parent, a kid, how do we harden the target and make school safer today? Brian Kilmeade Show.
Expanding your knowledge base. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
If you are a man over 40, listen up, because this could impact how much you're getting done during the day and at night. The harsh reality is, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. Here's the good news. Nugenix, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC, has changed the game again for men over 40 with Nugenix Total T, their most powerful man-boosting formula ever, and guys all over America are raving about it. Jeremy P. says, this is the best product I've found to raise T levels. I plan on using the product for the rest of my life. And how about Shane D.? He says, I had no drive and was tanked out at the end of the day. After 3 months, my energy level is through the roof. I work out like most 19-year-olds. I am 47. Guys over 40, you need Nugenix Total T. And right now, you can get a complimentary bottle. Just text EDGE to 42424. It's the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. But you can only get your complimentary bottle by texting EDGE to 42424. That's EDGE to 42424. Text EDGE to 42424.
These products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby. The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect.
DINOVITE.com.
We've been using DinoVite, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy, a glow, and a bounce about him.
You get some DinoVite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com. Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. There is always someone doing something stupid somewhere. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Join me, Jason Chaffetz, every Wednesday as I shed light on the news and make some predictions along the way. You never know who will drop in. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Listen, the more you'll know.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
I'm appalled at what I believe has happened, or at least what we think has happened so far. The fact that, look, for 12 minutes, the shooter was outside shooting. And then he went into the school, and 4 minutes later, police respond. But they were ill-prepared for the attack. They didn't have body armor. It doesn't appear like they had rifles and the ability to get into the classroom and stop the killing. So they sat outside for what appears to be 40 minutes waiting for a tactical response team to come in and address the threat.
So that is Ryan Petty, whose child was killed in Florida when they had those rampages at Stoneham High School. And we thought that the cops waiting on the outside was a disaster. It was disastrous for the survival of a lot of those students, because the shooter was able to go back and forth and just finish off some people that were wounded and weren't dead yet. Joining us now, actually, let me open up the phones. Bill is listening in Pennsylvania, WTRW, to talk about this. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Brian. I just want to wish you a great holiday weekend coming up. Bless you and your family.
Thanks so much. I just got to tell you, on One Nation for Memorial Day, we have Gary Sinise, who does more for troops than perhaps anybody I know, except for, of course, maybe Dan Rooney, who started Folds of Honor. And then you have Tunnels to Towers, Frank Siller. They're three of our guests. But go ahead, Bill. What's on your mind?
It's about the NRA. My comment is, I'm an ex-NRA member, and I am a proud gun owner. I think going forward, even at this convention, wouldn't it be great if the NRA just announced that going forward, they're going to be the trailblazers that are going to take on security in schools and come up with innovative ways to prevent these shootings? Like, they take on a dual role, not only to be a gun advocate, but also be the ones that trailblaze the new ideas that prevent some of these shootings from happening. I think that'd be great for their image. It would prevent them from becoming the villain all the time every time something like this happens. If they started a think tank and got together with some of the best security forces and just came up with
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, I don't know if you heard our interview with Oliver North, who used to run the NRA. They have a program. They put $100 million into it. And it's out there, and it's from the research. So I'm not sure it's exactly what we need, but it would be a start, and they should play a role. But instead, they want to vilify. If President Biden comes down and starts saying Republicans do this and they're responsible, and bring up his old rhetoric of deer is not in the woods with Kevlar vests, you don't need an AR-15, that just alienates people. So maybe this is going to get something done. It's two things. Mental illness, too. I want this red flag law to be put into play that if you're a wild man at 16 and you turn 18 and there's nothing in your background check because any problems you had at 16 do not transfer to adulthood, I think there's got to be an amendment for people that pledge violence when you're a teenager, that there should be a background. When you get a background check, there's got to be a red flag that says you got to take a better look at this guy. This guy could be a problem, like the shooter in Buffalo. I wonder if there's a way to implement that. Jamie, WVMT in Vermont. Jamie.
Thanks for taking my call, Brian. That guy said no. But, you know, if money is an issue, we're sending $40 billion worth of military equipment to Ukraine. And I just feel like, you know, 100% of the American civilians or citizens here would gladly send $1 billion to help train officers or train veterans to protect our schools.
Yeah, there's enough money here for that, and no question, and they'll be able to get it. And I don't think you have to deny the Ukrainians who are doing the fighting really for the entire West of anything that they need. You could do it. And especially the crap that we spend on and how much money we've been wasted, there's a national movement to harden our schools and make them safe. Pro-gun, anti-gun, doesn't matter. We all have the same objective. So the red flag we can get behind, and number two, hardening the targets. And I love your idea of using retired military, because you just train them for more domestic use in elementary school instead of taking down an Iraqi mud hut. I'm all for, and I bet you they can make the adjustment. Donnie, WLAD, Connecticut. Donnie.
Hey, Brian, what's happening, brother?
What's on your mind?
Vets. I'm for the vets, too. It's backups, though. My idea is this. It's... You ever hear micromanaging? All these companies using micromanaging. Well, if the schools had a room set up where you have a monitoring system, okay, and if something's wrong or whatever, a door's ajar, a door's unlocked, or you want to monitor a hallway, you want to monitor a classroom, you can sit there, maybe two people, play two people for the day. It's an eight-hour day for school or whatever, and you can see what the heck is going on. And you can relate that outside to whoever, cops.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Donnie, I mean, do you know this system that I found out in Uvalde? They agreed. They actually did drills on this. And there's a master key that's supposed to be in a certain place that the cops know about. They go grab a key, it's the wrong key.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about a monitor. People inside the school are employed by the school that can see who's coming through the doors, who's walking down the hallways. And if there is a door ajar, you know, it shows up. There's, you know, the technology is, you can use it to such an extreme. And then you have your backup vets or whoever you want. And then you can tell them what's going on. Hey,
obviously a video system like that would be great. That's something that should be talked about. I think everybody would work an extra day a week to provide the funds. And it's not necessary because we make so much tax dollars. We give so many tax dollars to provide the funds to harden every single school and make school shootings as old hat as skyjacking. We could do it. I'm convinced of it. Everybody's on board for that. My hope is Democrats don't see a deal getting done with the Republicans and then walk away from it because they want it as an election issue. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Thanks so much for being here. Don't forget to listen to and watch One Nation, 8 o'clock on Saturday, Fox News.
Are you a real estate investor looking to refinance one or more of your properties? Most lenders only work with cookie-cutter W-2 borrowers. At Cash Call Mortgage, we have loans designed specifically for investment properties. We qualify customers based on the cash flow from the investment property. Borrowers can get up to $2.5 million. That's right, $2.5 million.
No tax returns or employment verification needed for our investment property loans. And absolutely no lender or broker fees. If you're a real estate investor looking to refinance a mortgage on one or more of your investment properties, give Cash Call Mortgage a try. To see if you qualify, visit cashcallmortgage.com. Or call now. Call 800-940-4148. That's 800-940-4148. 800-940-4148.
Cash Call Mortgage is a DBA of Impact Mortgage Corp. NMLS ID 128231. Not all applicants will qualify. Equal housing lender. Licensed by California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. Residential Mortgage Lending Act License Number 413-1083. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions. Or visit cashcallmortgage.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.